Blog Talk Radio.
Let's drop that old one that we used to do back in the day.
Jack,
the reason why bitches be hating and waiting to comment on all of my shit. Speaking the tongues, I be sitting in shit that be having these bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be sitting in shit that be having these bitches ready to quit. Speaking the tongues, I be sitting in shit that be having these bitches ready to quit. Probably the reason why bitches be hating and waiting and comment on all of my shit.
Speaking the things I be sitting in this. Thank you. on, children, it's time to slam.
Get up!
Get your house on, children, it's time to dance.
Get up!
Get your house on, children, it's time to clap.
Get up!
Get your house on, children, it's time to jack.
Get up!
Get your house on, children, it's time to stomp.
Get up!
Get your house on, children, it's time to work.
You Are a Ball, Saturday, November 30th, presented by Abounding Prosperity, along with the icon pioneer, Larry Ebony, and the Gulf Coast Prince, Kendall Escada. Grand prize, $1,500, open to all realness, with the look and attitude of a celebrity. Mini grand, open to all sex sirens, for $500. Open to all best dress, $500. Open to all runway, $500. And performance blitz for $250. That's the Who Do You Think You Are Ball, Saturday, November 30th in Dallas, Texas. The location, Fiesta Event Center, 704 South Walton Boulevard, Dallas, Texas. Doors open at 7, LSS, at 8 p.m. Your commentator, the icon, Jack Mizrahi. Admission, $30. Tables, $100 before November 15th, $150 afterwards. There will be HIV testing at the event center and free admission for those that get tested. Again, the Who Do You Think You Are Ball, presented by Abounding Prosperity, the icon Larry Ebony, and Prince $10 Scotta. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for November 30th. The Who Do You Think You Are Ball.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the State of Emergency Show. This is your host, Jasmine Couture, and I want to say thank you guys for tuning in. But y'all going to have to bear with me because, bitch, I'm not feeling good at all. I thought it was over with, and she wants to pop up again today, this evening, as I'm watching American Horror Story. So y'all know I'm over it. I can't handle this shit no more. So bear with me, everyone, because I just am not feeling well at all, but I'm going to do my best to give you guys a show. And hopefully it'll pass and I'll feel a little bit better as the night goes through. Tonight's topic is going to be, no, I'm not running to the ER. Why do y'all think the ER is the answer for everything? Child, oh my God. I don't know, I might have to break down and go this time, though, child. I can't handle it. It's a mess. Anyway, I'm going to try to keep my composure. Tonight's topic is going to be very interesting. I'm going to do something a little different. What I want to do is take some of the headlines that are out there that we've been seeing and talking about or facing or that's all over the place, and I want to talk about them live on the air. I'm calling it Snatch from the Headlines. I want to take some of the current topics that are out there that we are seeing and we are facing and kind of intertwine them within what we go through in our community, in our ballroom scene, in our lives. Of course, this is going to be boring for many, so we won't have a lot of callers. So I do want to take the time right now to say thank you for the people who are a part of the show and that stay dedicated. Thank you, Bishop, that stay dedicated to the show and everything. Sorry, we are not the recap or we're not full of tea and gossip, but even though this can be a little interesting because we still read, like, I need to know what's up with that post, like headline, you know, i.e., what's up with this post about the boy doing an interview, HIV positive, and Pony? What is all that about? So I don't have time to read it. It just comes across my feed. So what is that all about? And that's what I need. That's why I need my team together to kind of bridge the gap on the things that we are missing. Some of the things that, because we may be at work, we may be at school, we are not paying attention, we are not, you know, glued to certain things. So that's why I wanted to do something like this, because it seems like lately I've been getting hit left, right, up, and down with so many new things that I just want to kind of, you know, get up to date on everything. So what is that about? Did this boy do an interview and say that Pony infected him? Or he infected Pony? What is all that? And I'm not throwing shade. I'm just asking. And the topics can be shady. And that's where it comes from. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, of course, I think I heard the government shutdown is over with. And we need to touch up on that as well. Or is it over with? If not, I don't know. I also want to talk to the femme queens out there and ask some questions to the femme queens based on the topic that Temperance, shout out to Temperance over on Mother Blahnik, I seen on her feed a couple of days ago, she asked the topic about with the government shutdown and things of that sort happening, if they stopped allowing or, you know, stopped the production of hormones, which I think they wouldn't because hormones are really for older women, so forth and so on, da-da-da-da-da. But if they did stop it or we weren't allowed to get it as femme queens anymore, would we go back to transitioning to being a man? Or what would we do then? And I think Brian Versace brought it up again on Monday, and we are going to talk about it tonight because that is a very serious issue. And it even gets serious as well. With the government shutdown, even though I think it's over with, I'll get clarification on that. But as you see, the government can play many games. They play games with EBT cards and stuff. But for all you people out there that are receiving assistance from the government with your medication for anything that you're dealing with in your life, if they just automatically stopped that and you weren't able to get those pills, that cocktail, or whatever it is that you're taking to help you continue to stay healthy, if the government all of a sudden ceased to give that to you, what would happen? And are we giving the, you know, do they have that much power, you know, over everyone? And what would you do? This kind of goes into a little bit of Naima and her show and her group and stuff because I know a lot of people don't, you know, listen to it or they don't take the time to listen to her and the things that she's saying. But in all honesty, Naima has been talking about this for a very, very long time. But I don't want to turn this topic, this show, into that. I just wanted to get, you know, an answer based on that because I think she has her own show that comes on tomorrow and she can talk, face those tough topics. But I just wanted to know, girls, what would you do if you couldn't get hormones anymore? And for the people that weren't able to get the medication anymore, what would you do? Do you have a plan B? You know, things of that sort. We're talking about snatch from the headlines. Anything else that's out there that you do want to talk about? Things that have come across your feeds? Things that have come across your airwaves? Your TV screens? Anything that you want to face? That mind boggled you or came up to you. That's what tonight is about. So tune in, call in, press one. I'm going to bring my panelists on the air shortly. Before we go into that, American Horror Story. I was watching it. I was in a little pain, so I really couldn't enjoy it because I was cramping and shit, but I did enjoy it. I don't know what to say. It looks like it's going to be very, very interesting. We are going to recap American Horror Story tonight as well. I do want to talk about the characters and the different storylines and what we're living for and what we think is, you know, may happen and what we think is going to be very boring. Of course, Angela Bassett and Kathy Bates, that little war is going to be something else. I'm very interested in that. How well are we with the boy coming back to life, being resurrected? And Miss Thing, I knew she was going to come back and play a part in this role because she did such a fabulous, fabulous season during season two. She did such a fabulous, you know, role in Asylum. So I'm glad they brought her back this season. What do you think about her? You know, that she has the power to resurrect, you know, the dead. So we're going to talk a little bit about American Horror Story. I know that everybody was watching it. Everybody was living I got my life when the Panji Cunts was in that motherfucking hair salon playing that motherfucking music and shit. And then Miss Angela walked up in there, honey. It was cute. I lived. But we'll get into that as well tonight. But let me bring on the panelists and everyone that is going to be a part of the show with us. And I'm still waiting for J-Rock. J-Rock also had a topic that he put on his news feed today, and it got kind of deep, and he was going to bring it to the show. How would you feel about, well, I'd rather him say it, but I know it had to do with, would you date someone that is HIV positive, or would you have sex with someone that is HIV positive? I don't remember exactly what it said, but I would prefer if he did come on the air and bring it up, because he had a lot of comments, and he said he was going to read those comments on the air. So before we go any further, let me bring on my guest panelist. Dick, you're on the air.
What's up? What's up?
How are you?
I'm doing very well today.
That's good.
Yeah, and I see that you're being hard-headed, but, you know.
Keep it cute. Calvin, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Calvin.
Hi, Calvin.
Yes, Jasmine, you are being hard-headed. Get to where you need to get to.
Yes.
Okay. We can, you know. Jason, you're on the air.
Hello, guys.
What's up, Jason?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good.
I think, honey, get off the speaker. Shamika, you're on the air.
Hey, my babies. How y'all doing?
Hey, Shamika.
How are you?
I'm good. I hope you feel better.
Thank you, darling. I'm strong. I'll get better. Where is J-Rock?
He posted in that little box he would be there at 11:30. You know, oh, it's only 10:45 in Texas, so we got to 11:30 to wait for him, Texas time.
Where is he at? He's on his way home or something?
I'm guessing he's on his way home.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so what do you guys want to talk about first? I know Jason also will be on the air, and he always gives us up-to-date information on what's happening with, you know, current events and stuff. So I look forward to him tuning in. I know he's already in the chat room, you know, just going, you know, bringing it down. So where do you guys want to go first with it? I'm going to start off, you know, in the order that you guys called in, and start off there, and we could just touch up on it and go down the line. I'll start with you, Dick. What has been on your feed that you want to address?
Something that I just ran across, and I just commented on it, that's been about maybe 2 or 3 minutes ago or whatever, is that do you give oral sex with condoms? You know, and... For me, I believe that you're supposed to be protected anyway or with anything that you do, period. You know, and I'm seeming to think, you know, with the responses to this post or whatever, that people are thinking that it's okay to give oral sex without condoms. You're still safe as long as it's not penetration, and that's not true.
You're right.
Okay.
It's not true at all.
I will say this, if I can find it really quickly. I should have it printed out and just on my desk. But November, you guys talk about it really quickly. Let me get to it because we are having Reach LA coming on the air, and your host that evening will be the Icons, Jack Mizrahi and Jay Blonick. They will be here that Monday.
Yay.
Let's see.
I live for Father Goatee. I love him.
Father
me.
Who?
Goatee. Isn't that a goatee?
Which one?
I love him.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Monday, November 18th, The BOCT will be doing a performance at Jack's Mumble Ball on November 17th, and they will be here on the air with Dr. Michelle, who's a social scientist, you know, talks about the HIV vaccine trial network and a whole bunch of stuff about awareness. Again, this is the Be the Generation Ballroom Community Outreach Team, as well as they're partnered with Reach LA, the House of Blahnik, the House of Garcon, and they will be on the air to talk about awareness and address different issues pertaining to HIV and, you know, the disease itself, you know, trials, prevention, anything. You know, they're going to be bringing them up. So those questions definitely can be addressed that night as well. We can talk about them tonight. But as well, we, you know, they will be addressed that night. You will have a doctor on the air that can, you know, answer those questions or concerns. But going back to what you said, Dick, I do agree. You should be protected at all times. And yes, free Kelly immediately.
Oh,
immediately. So if you want to free Kelly immediately, actually, so inbox me some money so we can get her out.
Boom.
How about that? We can do that. Okay, go ahead, yo.
No, I mean, I agree with you, Dick. Yes, she should always be protected because, you know, a lot of I can't call them dummies, but a lot of people think just because it's pre-cum that they cannot contact HIV or any other STD or VD for that matter, which is actually very untrue. I mean, it's still a body fluid that contracts any type of disease, whether it be sexually transmitted or not. I mean, you should always be protected. There are flavored condoms and flavored lube. Work it the fuck out.
I mean, I've heard something today that was like, you know, I'm sorry. I have, oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Very sorry about that. Help my pinchers. But I have, let me close this door. Hold on 1 second. Anyway, I heard something today that was really, really bothering to me or whatever when somebody said that as long as you can breathe air or whatever, it's supposed to kill any disease while you're giving head or whatever the case it is. And that shows you just how unaware we are as
what?
People of, yeah, yeah.
Right, and another
really
thing that the girls think, and another thing that the girls think is when semen hits the air, immediately HIV is killed. Actually, it's half true. It takes up to 3 hours for any disease or HIV to disappear in semen after it comes out the penis and hits the air. It's not just immediately.
Okay.
Well, I can say it's a lot of ignorance in the straight community also, because I have a lot of friends who don't use condoms, giving head. And me personally, with my boyfriend now, we've been together for about 8-9 months. And at a time we did, but now we don't. And I can honestly say that we don't, but we're a couple that sit in the doctor together. So it's like, you know, it's a bit different. But as of now, I can be honest, we don't. As in oral sex, no. Not oral sex, no. Mm-mm. Not during sex, yes, but no oral sex. I just don't.
I want to say something, and people may not agree with me with this. I don't care if you and your partner have been together for 6 decades. It
right.
does not matter. Always protect yourself doing any kind of sexual act, because you don't know what your partner is doing when he has a long time. You can only be accountable for what you're doing. Your partner can tell you any and everything that he wants to. Not to say that you're not supposed to not trust your partner, but at the end of the day, your life is in your own hands.
Even if you're married, Dick?
Even if you're married. Well, I mean, that's a different realm. But I'm going to say this, and I hate to put a stereotype on this, but in this lifestyle particularly, be protected. Be aware. And that goes for the heterosexual lifestyle as well. I just feel like you should be more aware of what you're doing. And sometimes, even more with heterosexual couples or whatever, men can be very promiscuous, and women are starting to do the same thing as well. But I just, I mean, for me, period, I just don't do anything unprotected. I just don't feel like it is safe. I just don't feel like it's safe.
Maybe I'll have to venture off and try things that I like, because I never tried flavor condoms or dental dams, but it feels like regular condoms. It tastes like fucking dirt. Like, it's horrible.
Jason, do you have anything
you want to say about this?
How do I feel? I don't even really like sucking dick. I don't even like the cum on me, and I don't like pre-cum. So I'm always been a firm believer that if you're going to suck a dick unprotected, then what are the chances of this? If you're sucking dicks unprotected, what are the chances that you're letting someone fuck you unprotected? So I'm always been a firm believer in the fact that I do HIV awareness through the plays that I do and the other things. I'm a firm believer that you should wrap it up. That's why they make flavor condoms. And if you're not one for wanting to put a condom on a dick you're sucking, then HIV is one of the few things that you need to be worried about catching, because, I mean, you can get gonorrhea, you can get syphilis, you can get quite a few things in your throat, and you don't even know about them. So I think if you're going to be with a partner, if you're going to do random sex acts, and that's one of the strangest things that I've always thought about. I thought it was crazy that I've had friends that would say, I'd rather suck a dick than let somebody fuck me. Me personally, I'd rather let somebody fuck me than fuck their dick. So, but it's to each its own.
Right, that's
so.
How I am. I'm not anybody, but.
Right.
So. I mean, regardless of what, you know, I may have said yesterday, trust and believe I've always been safe. You know, I can't say that I've never had a slip up. I can't say I never met somebody in the club or at a store. I mean, just at a party somewhere and, you know, we just hooked up. I can never say that. But there are mistakes made. But trust and believe, every 3 months I'm in my health department or at my local doctor getting tested.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe when we had this conversation a few months ago, the young lady from, and if she's listening, she can call in. I believe a young lady called in that worked in the health field, and she told us that it was better that, because the question came up, then if you do suck dick unprotected, should you spit or should you swallow? And the answer was, and the answer was, you're better off swallowing. Because spitting it out, whatever she said, if she's listening, she can call in because I don't want to quote her wrong, but you were better off swallowing because spitting it out takes the chances of infection spreading through your gums if you had, like, a sore in your gums, if your gums were bleeding or something like that. So she says you were better off swallowing.
Right.
I don't even know people really did it like that. Like, I don't sit there and let nobody nut in my mouth and all that shit. That's ridiculous. I'm never down at it.
There is least left of a chance that you'll catch a HIV, not any venereal disease, through swallowing, but it's still quite possible change.
There's something
right,
else that I wanted to say about this same subject.
Hold on, y'all. Y'all get very passionate about the topic, so we might have to cut some of it short, like y'all only, you know, give a rebuttal once and then, you know, take it from there, because now we got a whole bunch of callers, and that's just only the first topic. So let's see what the callers have to say, then we're going to have to change it up. Because in all honesty, again, we have a show dedicated to this topic coming up soon, and, you know, we can address it there as well. But let's see what some of the callers have to say. 401-649, you're on the air.
Yes. I wanted to say something about as far as females, you know, protecting themselves more, because you have a lot of guys out here that are on the DL, and I think that's something really important, because a lot of guys that go out, sleep with guys, and then come back and sleep with their girlfriend or their wives and, you know, bring things back home to them. So I think that's very important. I think they need to stress that, you know, using a condom all the time, no matter how long you've been in a relationship or how long you have been married, it still doesn't matter. You need to protect yourself, because you don't know what your husband or your boyfriend or partner, whatever is going out and doing. So it's always important to protect yourself.
Thank you, caller. I agree with you 100%. Thank you. 469-509, you're on the air. Miss Singh, 469-509, you're on the air.
I'm just listening.
Okay, sweetie, I can hear you eating. What you eating? Press 1 for me, honey, so you can get out of host queue. Just press 1 for me. Jason, you're on the air.
Hi, panel. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi, guys.
I wanted to share with you what the CDC posts about oral sex and the risk of HIV transmission. The risk of HIV transmission from an infected partner through oral sex is much less than the risk of HIV transmission from anal or vaginal sex. Measuring the exact risk of HIV transmission as a result of oral sex is very different. Additionally, because most sexually active individuals practice oral sex in addition to other forms of sex, such as vaginal or anal sex, when transmission occurs, it is difficult to determine whether or not it occurred as a result of oral sex or other more risky sexual activities. Finally, several cofactors may increase the risk of HIV transmission through oral sex, including oral ulcers, bleeding gums, genital sores, and the presence of other STDs. What is known is that HIV can be transmitted through fellatio, conolingus, and analingus. And on that introduction, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you so much, Jason. I know we can always count on you to give us the real deal.
No problem.
I have a question for you, Jason. Well, no, I'm going to go back down the line. Jason, I want you to stay right there. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to keep coming back because I do hear a little feedback from you. It's not too bad, but I'm just going to mute you really quickly, and I'll come back to you shortly. But I want to go to Calvin really quickly and just give him a chance to give us his, you know, his little headline from today and go down the list. Calvin, what headline that caught your attention today or that's been on your mind for the past week or so?
The only thing that's really been on my mind recently was about the whole government shutdown. And like you said, being in Naima's group and listening to her show, which I do so quite often, you get to learn a lot of things. Now, whether they're true or not is you know, it's up in the air. But if it is true, do you realize the shit that we're about to get into? Like, it's and I know Naima doesn't believe in the Bible, and a lot of other people don't believe in the Bible, but we're literally in the end of the days, the end of times, if you think about it. It's quite scary.
Okay. So before we go any further with that, I'm going to go back to Jason, and I know Jason can probably give us an update on what took place this evening. So, Jason, where do we stand with – yeah, I know you're in queue, Bishop. I'm going to come to you shortly. Where do we stand with the government shutdown right now, Jason?
House Speaker John Boehner, the Republican from Ohio, said today that he will not block a bipartisan Senate compromise to reopen the government, paving the way to end the two-week government shutdown. So what happened was the Republicans in the House are who shut the government down to begin with. They decided to use the debt ceiling as leverage to change Obamacare drastically. What they wanted to change was the medical device tax. That tax is what will pay for Obamacare. It will not be coming out of our pockets like it is imagined. So now that the Senate has overruled the House and their bullshit, it will be business as usual, hopefully, as of tomorrow.
Okay, so it's pretty much over with now.
Well, the only thing that I would be afraid of in all seriousness is if they're capable of using this tactic once, what is to prevent them from the time of November of 2014 when we can vote them out of office? What's going to stop them from doing it again?
Exactly.
I mean, that's an incredibly horrible position to be in as a country, because how do you legislate against yourself? Like, it just seems so ridiculous. I share that concern with a lot of people.
Give me an example of what you mean when you say that.
Okay. So what I mean is, what happened to us in the government shutdown was that the Tea Party members of the House of Representatives decided with, if you all remember, Senator Ted Cruz, the Republican from Texas, had filibustered for like 21 hours. That's what began the shutdown of our government. He decided in order to freeze the government in place, the Republicans were no longer going to vote and do anything. In effect, stop going to work and the government shuts down. So my fear is, you know, this is a government within the Republicans that has stopped our president almost at every turn. So now that they've succeeded in stopping, in closing the government, what's to stop them from closing it again on another issue? There's nothing in the law that can prevent this. And I'll throw even more shade that Dick Johnson watched with me this afternoon. So the House of Representatives is who decided on closing the government. So what the Senate did was they convened a meeting, and it's all on tape, right? They convened a meeting in order to call the House of Representatives leader, which is the Republican John Boehner, and have him bring the government to work again. And they changed the law overnight to say that only this person can decide if he can be brought up to decide it. No longer can Congress say to the House Speaker, we want you to make the government work. Instead, only that one speaker can decide if he himself wants to do it. That's kind of power that's like a dictatorship. That's the kind of thing I don't think we've ever seen in our lifetime. And that's something that should be terrifying to all of us, because those crackers are crazy.
All right. So I'm going to ask, okay, Jason, thank you. I'm going to put you back right there just so I can, you know, hear everybody clearly.
Next topic?
I want
to, huh? What'd
you say, Shamika?
Are we doing another topic now?
Yeah, we're going to do another topic in 1 second. I just want to ask a question as far as this goes. Now that it's over with, okay, I just want to know from everybody this simple question, and anybody can press one and answer it. Us as a community, us as individuals, how did this whole thing that took place for these days affect you personally? Personally, you. Dick, how did it affect you?
So to speak, it really didn't affect anything that I chose to do personally, but what it did was make me more aware of the situations that were at hand, and it made me step back and begin to save a little bit, not knowing the outcome of everything that was going to happen. I wanted to have something stashed away for a rainy day just in case.
Okay. Wow. All right. Calvin, how did it affect you?
I think I have to say the same. It really didn't affect me personally, but it made me want to review more into my politicians, into my politics, and into other things that have happened in the past and that may still happen in the future. And like Dick said, to put away for a rainy day just in case some bullshit does happen, where when the day comes, I need money and at least I'll have some stashed away.
Okay. Jason, how did it affect you?
It made me grateful that I was brought up by a generation of people that knew how to survive when shit like this happened. Thank God I had a rainy day fund, and that, like Naima said, you shouldn't have to depend on the government for a lot of stuff. So thank God for the rainy day fund, and thank God for a family that knows how to stick together and band together when situations are like this.
Okay, Shamika, how did it affect you?
Well, personally, it really didn't affect me, but it's a lot of my friends that are pregnant and, like, totally changed their minds about not breastfeeding and stuff like that because they thought the wick was cut off or whatever, what have you. And also, me and my dad had a long talk about, like, me putting money in my savings account and stuff like that, and he told me not to put so much as of now, and to, you know, not put so much into the bank for when things happen and shit gets shut down and shit like that, you can have access to your own money, cash on hand. So we gotta talk about that. That was good.
Okay. Yes.
Well, I mean, another thing is that the government had to open back up because they know they couldn't borrow any money when they're shut down. No shade.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me ask Angel. I mean, Jason. Jason, how did it affect you?
It's Angel's actually appropriate. It affected me in my grandmother has very progressive dementia, and we live in Florida, and Medicare helps the cost of paying for her night nurse and her day nurse. Well, with the government shutdown here, Medicare had to lay off and furlough many of the people that handle those claims and phone calls. So for the past week, instead of having our nurses, we've had to manage my grandmother's care, which is incredibly difficult. So I'm glad that a lot of you, you know, didn't feel the effects, but I really did, and it sucked beyond the telling of it. And when you think about it, what did they accomplish in the end? Nothing changed that the Republicans wanted. So they literally just threw a tantrum to no effect. That's a very powerful thing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Angel. We're going to call you Angel. I think I don't remember if you pressed one or not already, so I'm not going to come to you. Bishop, how did it affect you?
Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Oh, God.
It affected me tremendously because the simple fact is that my dad, he's retired from the District of Columbia Employment Center. He's retired, and then on top of that, he also gets a retirement check, and he gets a Social Security check with him not having a leg and him being diabetic. Also, to go back with Jason that was talking about her effect, the effect was going to be regardless. If this was to continue, it was going to be regardless, period. And then they have a dead date where they're basically going head on and they might shut the government down again in January. My thing is, Jasmine, you should have a hot seat because, honestly, this government that we're going through right now is so much that's going on with the House of Representatives, Congress, Senate. We voted these people in. Gay,
Bishop,
straight,
Bishop,
whatever. We voted.
Bishop.
I'm sorry. We voted everybody
Bishop,
in.
Bishop,
but
you
the
said
Tea
sorry,
Party
but you
is
keep going on.
Okay, just basically
Bishop,
what
listen,
I'm saying
listen,
is.
Listen. Stop for a minute. Stop. I just asked one question. I know how passionate you are about it, but we've been hearing it all about it for a week, so we just want to give it a break. But I just wanted to know how it affected you. That's it. Now, all that other stuff we can address another time, but that, again, will wrap up the minutes with everything that we're doing tonight. So I don't want to be rude and cut you off and go back and forth, but that's all I wanted. I want us to stick to the questions at hand. And you did address it, and I thank you. Now, please don't go attacking me in a group because I muted you. We're going to stick to the topics right now. Okay. Thank you, Bishop, sweetie. Jason, what headlines have crossed your feed today, that's been on your mind, that you want to address?
The headline that I want to address is the misinformation, the miseducation of what happened with EBT and how that needed to stop being blamed on the government, because the government had nothing to do with that. That was the whole outside entity a whole nother program, a whole nother company that did that, the changes. Now, the only effect that that did have with the government is that people who do receive food stamps, families that receive food stamps in November, what they received in October and prior months is going to be deducted by like $11, I think $24, depending on which bracket you were in. And what you received each month. So if you were a person, a single person, and you received $200 a month, I think it goes down to like $189. I'm not sure. So that was one of the things that bothered me, is that people continue to say that the government was responsible for EBT shutting down, and they really were not.
Okay. So I have a question about the whole EBT thing. Dick brought it to my attention that people had these food stamp cards and whatever. I'm just going to say it the way I say it, child. So the girls had the food stamp cards. Your food stamp cards was unlimited. And y'all was up in Walmart and everything just shopping, going motherfucking crazy. What is going to happen to the girls that spent $500, $600, $1,000, and $2,000 worth of merchandise? What do y'all think is going to happen now? Do you think that it's going to be deducted?
Well, they've addressed that. They have addressed
that. Can I chime in?
Okay. Let Shamika chime in. Go ahead, Shamika.
Okay, well, the place that they really, like, put it out there, it was happening all over the U.S., but they mainly victimized Louisiana, so I will have to speak on it. My friend called me, and I mentioned this on the show last night before they cut me off. She called me. She said, bitch, whoever EBT and your friend, whoever food stamp call, we say food stamp call, we don't say EBT, we say food stamp call, whoever food stamp call me off. I was like, nobody, well, I was up. But she only gets 115 because she works at Whitney Bank. And she said that she spent $250, even though her stamps weren't ready yet, it was showing unlimited. So people would get like $500, $600 worth of food. So at 9 o'clock, they did a shutoff, but they had one lady in one part of Louisiana who was getting her groceries, but 9 o'clock had hit, and she had $700 worth of groceries, but she only had 49 cents on her card. They arrested her. They arrested her, but the manager stopped it and said as long as she left all the food, she could go home. But my thing is, these are electronic purchases. It's not like you can't be found. You see what I'm saying? So they said they're looking into doing fraud cases.
Okay. So go ahead, Dick. Dick, you said they addressed it. What did they address?
From what I gathered today, whatever, my aunt happens to work for the government, and she happens to work for Job and Family Services. And what they're pretending to do is they're probably going to end up taking whatever you spent, however much you spent or whatever, is going to come off of you month by month until this is paid off.
Right.
Because it wasn't only food benefits, but it was cash benefits as well. People were getting deodorant, soaps, clothing items. They were just maxing out the place. Mm-hmm. One Walmart, actually, like she said, in Louisiana, was so bare that they could count maybe 6 apples and 12 bottles of Dove dish detergent that was left in the store.
No, that's just trifling.
Mm-hmm.
Just trifling.
Some people, once 9 o'clock hit, they were leaving their baskets full of shit.
Yeah.
Stuff at the top in the middle of the aisle, like, fuck it, and going home.
Well, I know I read something. I'm going to look for it. I'm sorry. I know I read somewhere that one of those Walmarts are going to cut that. They're going to take that as a tax write-off. That they're forgiving.
A lot of them are.
They're forgiving it. Now, what social service or whatever it's called in whatever city they're in may do is something different. But Walmart is just writing that off as a tax write-off. Now, it's just unfortunate that that woman with the 79 cent wasn't able to get away like everybody else was, because
maybe she needed it.
Right. I mean, but that's just my thing that I don't understand. And I'm not just going to say us as black people, because I've seen white people ride too. One of the things that I don't understand is when things like this happen, take what you need. Don't be greedy. Just like with Katrina, I would never understand, and I wasn't there, but I was going to move to Louisiana at that time. I never understood why, when Katrina was going on, why were people stealing televisions? Where the fuck were you going to plug that in?
No, some other parts of the city did have electricity and stuff like, but further away from the city, not necessarily New Orleans, but I mean, I wasn't here. I left a day before the storm, so, but I know a lot of people that were here. And I think looting TVs and stuff was unnecessary. But if you knew the mindset of those people, which I feel like we should have got a lot of counseling, even though I wasn't there, it did affect me a lot. And they had some people that were, fuck, I lost my, some people thought it was the end of the world. They were in there raping children, killing children, leaving them in the freezer and shit like that. They didn't know what was going on. They thought their world was about to end before they knew it. So you weren't in there. You can't really, you know, like, so I can't really say what they were thinking to say, fuck, I need these new shoes. Or shoes are understandable. But, like, the TVs, DVD players and shit, like, I knew people that went, that hit up banks that were really smart and took fucking money. I know an older lady who went to Houston on a bus after, like, the final days when they started picking everybody up with three suitcases stacked with money. She hit, like, four Whitney banks and all that. I mean, some people
okay.
played it smart and some people didn't.
Okay. Thank you, Shamika and Jason. I just got a message that Walmart is going to be held responsible, or they have to handle it on their own.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask Angel. Angel, what is your take on this topic that we're talking about?
I think if anyone went over on their card, it'll be deducted from their next month's benefits. And ultimately, if they abuse the system, they'll probably lose their benefits for a while. I personally don't give a shit about Walmart. They make billions of dollars in profit every single year, and they get a federal tax subsidy in the millions every year. So fuck them. So some people got some extra sandwiches. People need to eat and use deodorant. Walmart doesn't give a shit about us. Who cares? Who cares? Why are we defending the interests of corporations? They don't give a shit about us. If they stole from the corner market, I could see it. But Walmart won't even pay their workers a fair wage to afford insurance on their own. Remember that.
Okay. Thank you, Angel. I have to address something. I don't know how to say this without sounding like a bitch.
They're going to say you won anyway, so you might as well say it.
But didn't your song say you about that? You a bitch, bad boss bitch?
So listen, this is the deal. When I'm not feeling good or I got stuff on my mind or shit is like that is happening, I just don't like to be bothered with the bullshit. And I'm not trying to read, I'm trying to be nice. But Bishop, see, everything that you're typing is popping up on my screen and the group. Fuck you, not feeling good. Okay, see. Okay.
Ooh, where is he
now,
typing
because,
that?
Oh,
Jesus.
He
tried. Because I see what he's doing. Because he's having his little episodes that he has and all
he
the rest
that
of that
picture.
Stuff. Yeah, I don't know what it is. But Bishop,
well,
Jasmine,
where
you know
is he typing
it at,
really? Because I don't see it.
No,
is it in the official
he's
world?
Hold on one second.
Jasmine. This is not even worth you putting your effort or your energy into because Bishop, as we all know, is probably more than likely bipolar. So if this is the way Bishop needs to vent and get it out or whatever, then allow him to do that. Nobody pays attention
no,
to Bishop.
No, but see, that's the whole thing. I do understand. But, you know, there's ways of handling that. So, Bishop, take time off. You're banned from the group, sweetie. You're gone. Now we don't have to see what you're typing anymore. Okay?
I hope he don't have no fake profile in there.
And if he has a fake profile, I'll delete that too.
Lizer or something like that. That's one of his fake profiles.
Which one?
Seth and Lies, some crap he tried to add me on, and he used to be in a room with, like, a bird and fire. Let me try to look through my friend request.
Yeah, find out which one it is. I don't have time for that. Listen, people, how can I send Angel a picture of... Hold on.
I'm glad I don't see the stuff that you did.
It popped up in my feed, too. Icon Penny said something.
Jasmine, how can I send Y'all won't even let me. I'm laughing. I ain't even read it yet because Jasmine Couture, how can I send Angel/Jason pictures of my dick and or asshole? I just love her to the ends of the earth. Sorry, Jason.
Oh, she wanted to be sent to me, not him, Jasmine.
No, she actually said she wants Angel/Jason. She said, Jason Hines, your old news darling. She's not using you.
Oh, okay.
She's not using you.
Good. Well, thank God. Hey, Jason, take good. You got Penny now. Yay.
But
all right,
let me say something real quick. Listen, people, archives, listeners, people that's on the air, people that go back and report, I don't tolerate the bullshit. I'm just not going to deal with it. A couple of things I just have to continue to address. Maybe I'll just make a commercial and play it all the time. Number one, I don't babysit this chat room. I mean, this group. I don't know what's going on in there. Just like I said tonight, I know there's so much stuff that popped up, and I don't even know what's going on. I had to make a topic about it, the headlines, to bring me up to date, because I'm just so busy that I don't know what's happening. So what makes you think that I know what's happening in the group, unless somebody tags me and it pops up on my phone? So I don't tolerate a lot of bullshit that happens in this group, especially when it comes to certain things like family or health statuses. But I can't address them if I don't know about them, or people's ignorance. If I see it, I will delete you and kick you out the group, period. Also, if you're promoting in the group and you shouldn't be promoting because you haven't paid for it, then I'm going to kick you out of the group as well. And I'm not going to say nothing else about it. That's it. I'm not going to go back and forth about it. So I'm sorry if people feel a certain way about that, but that's just how it is. I'm sorry. Now, back to the topic at hand, because I have not finished with the people that are on the line. I'm going to go to Shamika. Thank you, Jason, for what you wanted to talk about with EBT. Shamika, what did you want to address? What headlines did you want to snatch up out of the airwaves?
Okay. I saw,
I'm sorry, Shamika. Okay. So you know that I'm not feeling well. You know I'm not feeling well, but you would send me a picture of something like that that is going to automatically make me want to even... go ahead, Shamika. I'm about to give you the night off, too.
Wait, I didn't see the picture?
Not you, Shamika.
Wait, I'm lost.
They know who I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing that came on, it was actually on my timeline. I saw Naomi put up a post and say that somebody asked her, like, to give her questions. And one of her things she put was she wanted to have a child. And even though I'm only 20, I just find, I want to know what, like, femme queens or even gay couples, like, how do they feel about surrogacy, like, and would they be comfortable with it? Like, if they met the right person, like, you know, and had the right, you know, means to take care of a child, I wonder, like, if they would go through with it.
Okay. Let's start off with Dick.
I mean, personally, I'm a biological. I have children of my own. I have two biological children. They're 9 years old, two little boys, and I love my children to death. But I'll say this, in this time, it is not easy at all to take care of a child. It takes so much more than cuddling a child and telling them how much you love them to take care of a child at this point. It's rough. I don't recommend anybody who is not financially abreast to even think about having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Calvin?
Well, I don't have any kids. I would love to have some. When it comes to surrogacy, I think I would only, if I were to have a child, me and my best friend had talked about it. She said she would carry my child for me. And if you want to have a child, like Dick said, it's not easy. I helped raise my nephews and niece. And that wasn't even easy. I didn't even have them 24 hours, and I was ready to snap their little heads off. I love them down, but they get on my nerves.
No. I feel like this. I'm saying before I have, like, my own children, I was thinking about being a surrogate mother, like, just to see how that process would be. Like, you know, I want to be, like, have my own kids. Then, you know, the baby can see,
okay,
oh, mommy's pregnant. No, nothing like that. But I was thinking, I just think that's interesting. I think it's a blessing to be able to give people something that they can have, whether it
be
a gay couple or a heterosexual couple.
Now, I will say be careful with that because I've heard a lot of surrogate mothers say, I carried him for 9 months. I've waited so long for this baby to go in the world.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Lifetime stories.
Exactly, and when it's time to give it up, they just don't want to. So be careful, mm-hmm, baby.
Okay. Jason, what do you feel about the topic?
I don't think that anyone that is not financially able to support a child should even be considering having children.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems, we've talked about this in the past on several different occasions, some of the problems is people see babies and they're like, oh, that's so cute, I want one. And just because they're cute and cuddly, puppies and dogs and cats are cute and cuddly, that doesn't mean you're capable of taking care of one. So if you're not even capable of taking care of yourself, why would you even want to bring another child into this world?
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't do it with somebody who's just going to not pay you, possibly, because maybe that person
No. I'm not saying it's anything I really want to do, but it's something that's always, like, you know, past my mind. Like, I wonder about it. How would it be?
Let's go back to her original question, because I think you guys kind of got off topic with her question. Let me just confirm it because, you know, I'm trying to do five things over here at once. Shamika, did you say that you're considering being a surrogate mother?
No, I said I wanted to actually know what did people think about it. Like, because I see, you know, Naomi is what, a femme queen, and she wants a baby, and I was wondering if she wanted, you know, like a surrogate mother, and I wanted to see what people thought about surrogacy, period.
Okay, so that's what the topic is. What do you think about, you know, surrogate mothers? Dick, what do you think about that?
As far as surrogate mothers go, that's a tough for me. I think emotionally, if you can handle that, carrying something for 9 months and then taking that baby and turning it over to its rightful mother that you have, you know, allotted yourself to carry a baby for 9 months for, then kudos to you. I personally don't think that I could probably biologically birth something and give it away.
Okay. Calvin.
Right, like Shamika said, the whole, you know, you got to have the mindset for it. You can't just want to, I mean, it's nice to give somebody something that they can't have. I think if I was a female, I wouldn't mind being a surrogate because I like to help other people. And at the end of the day, it wouldn't be an issue with me. But I don't, it's like I said, you have to have the mindset for it.
Okay, Jason?
I'm on a fence with that because if it's to help a person that can have children, then I'm all for it. But if you're one of those people that's doing it just for the monetary gain,
right,
then
the
I have an issue with that. I'm like Dick. I have an issue with you carry something and you just willing to walk away from it. Dogs and cats do that.
Not even.
So
okay.
I just have a major issue with that. So.
So what about people that are in a position that can't have a child, and they do want to have a surrogate out there? Do you think that you know, that new family will be able to maybe give? I mean, let's be real. There's a whole bunch of people out there that are having children that don't, you know, that shouldn't even have children. They're just doing it for money. They're just doing it for the wrong reasons, to keep a man and stuff, so forth and so on. And there's people like, you know, me, who I would love to have a child, you know, or, you know, people like Naomi or other people out there, you know, people in good relationships or people who are just at that point in their life where they want to, you know, have someone attached to them or so, that are not able to do it. you know, what do you think about that? You know, I understand the emotional attachment, but there's also people who have children that don't even treat them right. How do you feel about the parents that have these children that don't treat them right?
I think that when it comes to that or whatever, there are so many kids that are in the world that are in adoption agencies, foster homes that are looking for really would like to have a home that they could actually call home, a family, a mom, a dad, that are out there who don't have it. And for you to be as selfish as to pay someone or hire someone to have a baby when you could actually give a child that's already in existence a home, I think that's, to me, a little bonkers or whatever. It's enough out there already.
At the same time, when it's a surrogate, it's still part of your family. It's still technically,
exactly,
you know, your baby. And people, and you know, a lot of people who go with the surrogacy thing, it's their last hope, because a lot of these people have been through in vitro, you know, all type of things. They're already putting, you know, thousands of dollars out to even have a child. So I know if they want to just go to an orphanage and pick out a child, you know, they would have done it. But some people want something, even if they can't have it naturally, they want something that's still a part of them.
Right. Right, and even
most people can't even keep a puppy for the lifespan of a dog without taking it to the pound.
Well, I mean, but you can't put most people in that perspective, because everybody's not like that. When it comes to surrogacy, you know, there's newer ways to do it, to where you could add the mother's eggs and the father's semen. That way the mm-hmm. baby can come out the parent's child. It was just carried by another person. It's just like putting your eggs and semen in a hatchery, you know. It's just carried by somebody else. So
technology, to me, technology has gone entirely too far. Back in 1871 or back in the early 1900s, if you couldn't have a baby, you just couldn't have one. They have taken it to a point to where, you know, they're making things possible that should not be possible. If you can't have a baby, you cannot have a baby. Maybe it just wasn't meant for you to have one. Maybe it wasn't in God's will for you to have one. It's like you're pushing fate.
Well, maybe you can do what Miss Thing did tonight on American Horror Story to try to have the baby child.
Oh no!
But like Nick said, like a lot of people would adopt, and they have some people who are all willing to adopt and still get played. Like, you know, they help the lady through her pregnancy, like, you know, through those adoption agencies, and they come to the doctor, you know, hospital to get the baby, and it's still, oh no, you know, this is my baby. You know, they get in that mold, that motherly mold. So, I mean, with surrogacy and some adoption, you get that same type of fear.
But in the same situation, it could be fake for you to adopt a baby or for you to get a surrogate. That baby being born may need the mother that person is and not the mother that it's born to. So, like you say, you can't pay with fate. Maybe that's fate.
Maybe you should get a Cabbage Patch Kid. They come with their birth certificate.
Oh, and a few vanilla wafers? Oh, God, they come out the backpack.
I mean, this is a touchy subject because, I mean, like, I can't say I'm getting angry, but I'm getting emotional over it because I love kids, and I want to adopt. I want to have a surrogate. I think whatever's right, then do it. Whatever you feel is right, then do it. If you can mentally take care of your child, then do it. Whether it's in vitro fertilization, surrogacy, or fucking, I can't say steal a baby, but Jesus, adopting a baby.
Oh, Lord, he's trying to steal a baby.
No, I ain't steal a baby now.
sometimes you are messing with fate, because I feel like a lot of people that I know personally that have done in vitro, like either the kid comes looking exactly like the dad, because it's mostly his semen that they use, or the kid comes out with some type of illness like autism and stuff like that. That's why I don't get, like, sometimes you have to go through the natural process to have a healthy baby, and I believe in it now that I've seen children that were born because of in vitro have a lot of,
Can we move to the next subject?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, right on cue, J-Rock is on the air, and I'll let J-Rock go into his topic that he addressed earlier today on Facebook, and we can talk about that. That one probably is going to get a little deep. But before we go to Jason, let me go to a private caller really quick. I mean, J-Rock, private caller, you're on the air.
Granny, just want to say, How you doing, Jason?
Hey, Nana.
Hey, how you doing, Jason, baby? You know,
that's Jason.
I kind of finally agree with you on that last statement you made or whatever about Walmart or what have you. But anyways, what Grant want to say is a lot of mental illness runs deep in our society, regardless of what your sexual orientation is. Most of this society has been indoctrinated, and a lot of you people walking around here thinking you sane is just as crazy as a cooler balloon. Now you can put me back on mute. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Granny. J-Rock, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing tonight? Hey, J-Rock.
Hi, J-Rock.
How you doing, Rock?
What's going on?
So, J-Rock, the floor is yours.
Okay. First of all, who all on tonight? I heard Jason and Shamika.
You have Dick, Calvin, Jason, Shamika, and Angel, who's on the air.
Okay, how y'all doing? I was looking at my news feed earlier today, and it came across my news feed. Someone was like, this is a question for men, women, gay, bi, straight, whatever. It said, would you ever date someone who was HIV positive? Be serious and elaborate on your answer. So, you know, I thought I was going to go down and maybe see like a simple no, I couldn't do it, or maybe, well, yes, there's no problem. But I've seen stuff no, don't set yourself up for that, or either no, because you're going to eventually get it, and you shouldn't do that. You have too much to live for, and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, what the fuck? And some of it was coming from, you know, even people from our own community, and I'm like, are y'all that ignorant? You know, they were like, you don't want to, you know, get that your children to have that and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, you know, and I had to think about it, and I realized, like, I keep trying to tell everybody, there's a lot of people out here that are not educated and ignorant to, you know, HIV today. They are still ignorant to it. And like me in seventh grade, I remember having a blue card that the middle school gave us to take home to our parents to sign for sexual health and everything. They don't do that no more. You know, health class is an elective. So when these kids get like graduate from high school, they literally don't know that, you know, you can be HIV positive and live a long time, and you know, diabetes is worse than HIV, cancer is worse than HIV, you know, sickle cell anemia is worse than HIV. So I just want to put that out there on the floor to the radio listeners and the people on the panel. Could you answer that question? Would you date somebody that's HIV positive? And I'll start. Yes, I would, as long as I know that person is taking that medication and they're doing what they got to do. They may outlive, you know, me and everybody else.
Okay, we'll go in order. Go ahead, Dick.
As for me, okay, first, before I say that, I want to say one thing. Well, I'm going to send it to Jasmine, and she can do what she wants with it. Okay, on that topic, I have two children, as I said, biologically. Had I been single, date someone who was HIV positive, that could be, it's a possibility, because then I know how to protect myself. I know the risk that I'm taking. I'm weighing my options. But by me having children, I have two lives to fight for, to live for. So at this point, with my children being involved in my life, I wouldn't take the risk.
Okay. Can you elaborate on, like, by the children being involved in your life? Are you saying, I mean, like, what is the risk that you're taking? Are you talking about the risk of leaving them alone, or, like, what do you mean the risk?
Correct. The risk of me ended up being infected. You know, I might have a little bit too much to drink one night, or I might, you know, slip up and or a condom breaks and I can contract it or whatever, and then, you know, I might have some failing health issues or whatever, and then my kids are not able to get the attention or the time that they may need from me because I'm dealing with another situation or another issue. I just wouldn't take that risk.
I can actually respect that. At least that had you had something.
Okay. Well, with me,
I have actually dated somebody that was HIV positive. Would I do it again after? Okay, well, first of all, let me share this with you. I had an ex who got HIV before he got HIV. After he got HIV, he told me how he contracted it. He was having sex with a condom on, and as the guy was taking his stuff, his penis out, the condom slipped off inside of him and dripped inside of him, and that's how he contracted HIV. So I don't believe, I don't want to sound ignorant, and people are going to get me for this. I can't say that I would date somebody with HIV. Yes, there are ways to be protected, but even in ways of being protected, you can still get infected. Oh, that rhymes. Anyway, so it's an iffy situation for me. It really depends on the love that I have for a person. Trust and believe, if somebody comes to me right now, well, I'm in a relationship, but if I was in a relationship and I'd say, hey, I want to date you, but I'm HIV positive, or talk to you and I'm HIV positive, I'd say, okay, well, let's get to know each other first. And it depends on my feelings and everything like that. And, you know, as that go along, then yes, no, maybe so.
The craziest thing about that is that I'm almost sure that we all at one point in time have slept with somebody who has been positive. We just didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, with the way that these, especially in the community we're in, a lot of people, like I thought, the gay community is so freaking small. And I did not realize that until I got in the ballroom and realized that it's a lot of people that's not in ballroom that you still, they from New York, they from California, they from Chicago, but they still know people in Texas, and this person that slept with that person, that person. You have probably slept with somebody that slept with somebody raw that had HIV or something like that. So my thing is, why not just treat everyone as if they are positive? So, I mean, because you don't know who's positive or not. Now they got these fake papers going around, somebody, oh, I got tested, I'm negative, and stuff like that. Baby, I don't know where that paper came from. Why do you have to show me a piece of paper saying you negative when you could just put on condoms and stay protected?
Exactly. Right now it shouldn't even matter about your statuses. A condom always should be there, should be present. I don't care if you're positive or negative. If we're fucking, then there's going to be a condom involved.
Anybody else?
Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes, yeah. We hear you, Jason.
Okay, I'm trying to do something. I have to... I'm here trying to help Jasmine. I want to chime in on my take on J-Rock's question. I have dated people that were HIV positive, and I don't have a problem with that because if you are upfront with me about your situation, and I don't mean you have to tell me on your very first date, but I mean I know people that are just that comfortable that they do that on their first date, and I don't have a problem with it, but it's your level of maturity and it's your level of where you are in education on HIV awareness. One of the things that I learned from the play that I'm in, and a couple of people have come to see it and they know about it, which is called Boy, Put Your Pants Up, which is a gentleman's life story, dealing with him having HIV and how everybody that this man is connected to, not only did he give them HIV, but he either left them with HIV or he left them with some type of a sexually transmitted disease, be it by oral sex, be it by sex, be it by something. But somehow or another, they were all connected because of this one man. Because of that, it made me more careful and more appreciative of people's honesty and things to look for. And that's something that we all need to look for, that when we're dating somebody, that if someone may not ever feel comfortable telling you that they're HIV positive, but they may do everything in their power to protect you and protect them. Because some people will never get to that place in their life where they can come out and they can actually admit, oh, I'm HIV positive. And the sad thing is that I have quite a few HIV positive friends who don't even have sex because of them being HIV positive. It plays such a part on their mental psyche that it screwed them up to the point where they don't even like sex. So it's not the people, in all honesty, it's not the people that are HIV positive and know that they're HIV positive that you need to be scared of. It's the people that you're having sex with that don't even go get tested. That you should worry about.
Well, Angel wanted me to quote him directly. He said, "What kind of ratchet bitches you be dating that your partners don't protect themselves regardless of your wishes? Damn, telling on yourself." That's what he
wanted
me to say.
Hold up. You know, let's not be ignorant. Let's not be ignorant with this, okay? Because it's a lot of people out there that will not tell you, you don't know the ratchet motherfucker, because the ratchet motherfucker come in all shapes, all sizes, all intellects. You don't know who is not telling you what. It could be a minister. It could be a teacher. They don't have to be ratchet. It's the situation. It's a mental thing. So my thing is, you just should be protected. Don't be sitting up here. That's what's wrong with these kids now. They see a fine young man that's really good looking and everything, all these muscles and all this kind of stuff, sexy, and that's the main one carrying HIV going around infecting all these young kids. So let's not just be ignorant about it. This is the state of emergency show.
No, he wasn't. He was just saying what kind of partners don't respect your wishes if you ask them, can you protect yourself? So if me and you were dating J-Rock, if I asked you to strap up, then you didn't respect my wishes. What kind of person are you? That's what he's saying.
We have the lines are lit up, so let's take a couple of callers. 917-294, you're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. This is Devastating Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hey.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Diana.
Well, I actually have something to say about this topic. Okay, first of all, let me turn my TV off.
Just like Diana Ross, bitch, we got to wait on this diva.
Right. Okay, I'm back. Now, in regards to the topic of HIV, okay. Well, my most recent ex was HIV positive, and we dated for 3 years. The thing is he wasn't infected when we met. We actually had a break in the relationship, and he actually moved away to Atlanta, and he became infected in Atlanta. So, but due to the fact, you know, that I still do love him, you know, he basically, you know, didn't, I mean, he told me that he had just, you know, become infected, and, you know, he felt like he didn't want to touch anyone. He was one of those people that the, you know, his status basically really messed him up mentally. He's very, you know, very knowledgeable about what HIV, you know, how to contract it and things like that, but it just was, it just weird on him, you know, for quite some time, you know. And I was told him, I said, listen, you, first of all, you're very intelligent. You know, what you need to do in regards to your meds and, you know, your lifestyle. You know, you don't do drugs. So, you know, that's a huge plus, you know, in not breaking down your body. A lot of people also don't realize when you're HIV positive, a lot of these girls that are positive and things like that, a lot of them just dropping dead because they're doing all these drugs, they're doing all this drinking, they're doing all this partying. You don't take into consideration that all these things continue to break your body down. Your immune system is already compromised. So, I mean, some people just say, fuck it. Like, as if it's the 80s and it's a death sentence, which is ridiculous. This is 2013. And then you have other people that just basically never change their lifestyle, you know, once they find out their status. And I think that's really sad. Not to mention, you have a lot of people that knowingly are going around here infecting people. And that's horrible because I actually know people that have done that and have been reported. And, yes, and it's quite fierce. People that I've known in the ballroom scene and outside of the ballroom scene have been involved in stuff like that. So, and everybody should, you know, just protect themselves regardless. I mean, like was already said, I treat everyone as if they have HIV. I mean, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I come before you. You have to protect yourself first. So, I mean, if a person, like they say, no glove, no love, sweetie, it is what it is. So, I mean, if you want that raw dog action, you need to go through your black book, dog.
Okay, Diana, stay right there. We're going to put you back on hold so I can get to some of these other callers. So I'm going to put you
okay.
Right back on hold.
Yeah, I'm sure you got them.
202-450.
I'm going to be heard. And this may be my
718-635.
Did you just cut
him off?
718-635.
He gave very good much night, good night, bitch.
Hi, caller.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
Okay,
I can't hear myself.
That's a good thing, because if you could hear yourself, we would have to tell you to turn your volume down.
Okay, so I have a lot of experience in the medical field. I work in Chelsea at a gay. Respect to a lot of what I've heard so far, HIV is mostly brought on by promiscuity. We know that, but to my surprise, when I worked at the Gay Men's Health Crisis Center,
Hello. You're still here.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
yes.
you. Your phone's falling in, but we can hear you.
Okay, sorry. A lot of them were responsible. A lot of them were financially stable. What I found was that a majority of them had partners that cheated on them, and that's where it happened. And not just HIV, a lot of different situations. There were even straight men there who were sleeping with men but married to women. So a lot of people, whenever this discussion comes up, a lot of people say, well, you know, it's because of all the sluts and the hoes and thing. But you also have to realize that not everybody's like that. Not everybody
right.
that's contracted HIV AIDS. So I want to put that out there, that be mindful that there are people who got into relationships and they were cheated on. There are people who wore a condom and it broke and they...
Or they could have been
very diligent. Exactly. So just keep that in mind, and that's what I just wanted to add. But I really appreciate you bringing up this discussion. I really do respect what everyone has said. But just be mindful that it's not always skanky. It's not always ratchet people. It happens to a lot of people. It happens to anyone, good people, smart people. Like somebody was saying, it could be a minister, a doctor, a lawyer. You never know. So thank you, and I really enjoy the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
so basically what he just said is that turn on my Vister, put some grease on your damn hand, and go ham.
Okay, I think this is Bishop, so we're going to see. Let's see.
First of all.
202-450.
Y'all going to keep on muting me for no reason. I'm so afraid to say something to the point where I get my
Okay,
wait a minute,
Bishop, let
Bishop?
Me say this.
Wait a minute, is that Bishop?
No,
is
let me
Bishop?
Know. I got this. Let me say this, Bishop. We let you on. We allowed you to speak. Then what you did was you disrespect Jasmine. What you're not going to do is disrespect Jasmine. What you're not going to do is come on here and harass and try to take over this show. You have a show. You have a voice, and you have a right to your opinion. Use it wisely on your show. Have a good night, Bishop.
Work.
347-965, you're on the air.
I think that must be me. Listen, I'm listening to this, and I came in sort of midway, and I haven't heard anybody say, I'm negative, and
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to stay that way, because as one of the previous callers said, I assume that anybody that I'm with is negative, is positive, so it's, you know, it's on me to protect myself. And I haven't heard anybody really say that. You know, I hear a lot about, you know, the person who is infected, infecting other people, but it really, I don't think it really works that way. It's my responsibility to protect myself.
Hello?
Everybody's responsibility to protect him or herself. You can't rely on somebody else to do that.
Right.
Exactly.
Very correct.
And I'm just, you know, no, I haven't heard anybody say that yet.
Well, I'm glad you said it.
I agree. It's totally up to you to protect your own self. And if your mate does not want to, then you don't want to. Simple as that.
Right. Okay. Well, this is my first time listening to the show, and my buddy.
Well, we thank you, caller. We hope that you continue to listen. If you have anything else you want to say, just press 1 again. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And we're also on Monday and Tuesdays night, callers.
Granny, you're back.
You know, when I was a young girl, I was always taught, in order to kill a weed, you got to go to the root.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not true?
That's true.
Now, when are we going to start holding the government accountable? You got to think about the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't stop at the first train stop and get off. You got to put some thought into it. Where did all this shit come from? What kind of carriers they sitting on and all that? But you want to blame each and everybody else. That's the purpose of it, to pit us against each other. You got to look at the bigger picture. In order to kill the weeds, you got to get to the root. Now, you stand on that. Don't put me back on mute.
Yes, Granny.
I personally think that.
Wait a minute. Hello?
Yes, Granny.
Yes, Granny.
You know what? I want to tell this colonized motherfucker, Jason, I'm looking at the Rome Sugar. You's a little youngster with a whole bunch to learn.
With Jason, Granny.
I may not master the English language like you do, because it's a bastard-ass language anyway. And you need to go learn your history. My ancestors created etymology, so I can speak and say whatever the fuck I want.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, girl, put me back on mute, baby.
Yes, Granny. Granny is not having it tonight. We have another caller, 313-423.
313-423.
How are you?
Well, hello, Jason. How are you? Hey, J-Rock. Hey, Jasmine. Hey, everybody on the line. This is Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Someone said something about promiscuity is the cause of HIV or whatever. I have a blood relative who was raped. And contracted HIV, so that wasn't the case for them.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a conversation, it's ironic that J-Rock brought this up, I had a conversation with a person about a week or so ago, and he said that he's HIV positive, and he said HIV, him being HIV was the best thing that ever happened to him.
Oh,
and
I gagged,
just like you, I gagged. And you know what he told me? He told me that it changed his life. He looked at things differently. He said that he's undetectable, and he said that his immune system is stronger than the regular person because the medication keeps his immune system strong.
I
was like, wow, you know, because I'm sitting there gagging about the situation where he said that he's happy that it happened to him. And I was like, oh, okay. So at any rate, after having that discussion with him, you know, it got me to thinking. I'm like, you know, damn. But anyway, to answer the question, I probably would date someone who's HIV positive. I would. I haven't as of yet, but I probably would. And just like what everybody's saying, you've probably dealt with someone who's HIV positive but didn't know it. And I actually, this one of the subjects that we had on the show that I was on before when I was talking about HIV or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, everybody should protect themselves no matter what. But I always ask any and every individual who I deal with about the HIV status, whether they lie to me or not, I'm going to protect myself. But the honesty is really important. So with that being said, that's all I wanted to say. And I just want to expound on the strength of the immune system with people who are taking care of themselves. And,
okay.
Oh, one thing that I forgot to add that is that he's been HIV positive for, like, 15 years. And he has, you know, he's undetectable, strong immune system, and all that. So.
Okay. Thank you, Harry.
Well, I mean, my aunt had HIV, and we didn't find out for years. She also had a host of other illnesses like diabetes and things like that. But when we finally did find out, it literally took 2 weeks for it to turn into full-blown AIDS. We couldn't figure out whether it came from her, my cousin's father, who had died from HIV, which 9 times out of 10 it did, but also her husband at the time was a known crackhead. Drugs is one of the biggest things that make HIV, using needles, people having sex for drugs. I mean, it's not just being homosexual. It's not just being being a hoe. Yeah, promiscuous, thank you. It's about just doing things randomly. You just got to be careful.
Okay.
It is I don't know. When it comes to that question, would you, and, you know, I say no because of my children or whatever, but then, you know, I look at, I don't know if anyone has ever around you seen someone who has had to, you know, succumb to HIV full-blown AIDS. My best friend moved to Philadelphia maybe about 6 years back, and he called me one day, and I was at work, and I wasn't able to take the call, and I said I would call him back that evening. However, I wasn't able to take the call, I mean, give a call back. His mother called me on that Saturday morning and asked me had I talked to him, and I said, you know, I haven't. I was supposed to call him back, but I didn't. What's wrong? She said, well, I've been calling him, and, you know, we talk every day. He hasn't answered his phone. So, of course, you know, this is back in my BGC days or whatever. I got on BGC and I contacted a real good friend of mine through BGC and asked him, would he go over to this apartment and just see about my friend? When he went over there, he knocked on the door for about 3 minutes. I was on the phone while he was knocked on the door, and nobody answered. The lady across the hall opened up her door and said, do you know him? And he said, well, I have his friend and his mother on the line with me. And she said, well, good, because I was going to call the police because that smell coming from out of there is pretty bad. So his mother gave the go-ahead to go ahead and kick the door in. So my friend did go ahead and kick the door in. He was laying halfway on the couch, halfway on the floor, still alive nonetheless, but he was, you know, not doing very well. He got rushed to the hospital. He died within 2 days of that. First lung collapse, his right lung collapse, then it was his left lung collapse, then he went into a coma. All this was just, and then not to even mention that he had a boyfriend at the time that he had just broken up with prior, maybe about a month prior to this or whatever, who had no clue that he was HIV positive or whatever. I've seen this firsthand, you know, people having to succumb to HIV. Would I want this or would I want to deal with this? I would not. So, you know, I'm not going to take the blame. I mean, not to put the blame on my children and say, no, because I have children or whatnot or whatever. I would not date someone with HIV. I'm very sorry that you had to go through what you're going through, and I would not want to see a dog go through it or whatever, but would I even risk myself having to go through something of that nature? I would not. I would not date someone with HIV.
Okay.
You know what gets me, though? I can, like I said, I can respect how you're saying it. You know what I'm saying? You're going by your experience of, like, okay, that's like anything. That's like saying I won't get on the roller coaster because I've seen the roller coaster fall off and a bunch of people die. I don't want to get on roller coasters. I can see you doing that. But my thing is people that have never had nothing happen to them or nothing, they're just ignorant, saying, no, don't put don't, it's not worth it. And the first one said, oh, don't do that. That's not, it's not worth it. And my thing is people would rather date people that smoke Tina and dying daily from drugs than to date somebody that is undetectable, that's taking care of themselves daily. You know, I've met some people, you know, because we have to teach this stuff. I've met people that really blew, what really blew my mind is meeting people that has had HIV for over 20 years and system is healthier than a healthy person, you know, because they're undetectable, they're taking care of business. And one thing that they told me was a lot of these kids, the reason why they check out so fast is because when they get it, they don't get educated. And what people don't understand is there is a HIV super infection. And I said this like a year or two ago. Not every strand of HIV is the same strand. So when these people get HIV and stuff like that and say, fuck it, I'm just going to go, you know, fuck everybody. You may fuck somebody with HIV that's a different strand than yours. Now you have two strands of HIV. Now you go have sex with somebody and you give them full-blown AIDS, you know. And any health person that's listening can correct me if I'm wrong, but I kept checking. I've been checking and checking. And, yes, that's what they call the super infection. Now your drug that they gave you to fight your strand may not be the drug to fight the new strand in your body. So now the drug just is not working anymore.
We're going to take one more caller. Let me see. We're going to take, let me see if Jason has anything else to say. If Jason doesn't have anything else to say, again, Jack will be on here in November, so we're going to move on from this subject. Let me see if Jason has anything to say. Jason?
Hi, guys. I didn't mean to throw shade at anybody before by mentioning ratchet partners. We're always free to do what it is we want to do with our own bodies. What I meant to get across was we're free to choose to protect ourselves at all time, and we're also free to choose partners that protect themselves also, at least in the beginning of the relationship, you know? You know when somebody's coming at you crooked, whether or not you want to play with them. Being afraid of dating someone with HIV, it can sound prejudiced, but that fear is very reasonable. Fear is a motivator for us. And the idea that you could be very potentially risking your life is a powerful thing as well. That being said, I have many wonderful, smart, and empowered people in my life living with HIV today. They live healthy and honest lifestyles, some of whom I've met because of this ballroom page. So it's a really difficult subject for this community to discuss, you know, openly, because it affects so many of us. I think as long as we're educated and honest with ourselves and the people around us, we can prevent this from continuing.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. I'm going to put you back on hold, and then I'm going to go to caller 212-470. 212-470.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. To J-Rock's question, I just wanted to say I think it's like playing with fire. Eventually you're going to get burnt. It seems like he's very bothered by it, but in a sense, it's all about prevention as well. Like, I personally would not date or want to be involved with somebody who has HIV because eventually I'm going to want to have sex. And just knowing that would make me very uncomfortable with all the possibilities. Like, I know you could be with someone and not know if they have it, or you have sex with someone who had sex with someone who had it, but it's just like, I don't know, certain things don't sit right with certain people. Like, if a person decides to say maturely, like, listen, I can't deal, this is too much for me, I don't think anything is wrong with that.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
Thank you, caller.
All right.
Okay. Okay, 347-965, 347-965.
Okay. One other thing. This is, Jason said something about, you know, the fear of AIDS being a real fear and a reason not to date someone, whatever. I dated someone who had HIV, and I was told on a second date. And, yeah, there was a fear, but I knew how to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
So the fear dissipated. I knew how to protect myself. He wasn't interested in infecting me, so we were cool.
Mm-hmm.
We were together for 3 years. I never, you know, nothing ever happened. We never had unprotected sex either, though.
Right.
So the fear is somewhat irrational. There are other things that are more likely to happen to a person other than contracting HIV. You know, lots of other illnesses that we have to be concerned with. And if an illness is a reason not to date someone, then, you know, perhaps a person shouldn't date because of, you know, what's to be said that, you know, a year after you start dating, a person gets cancer or
right.
some communicable disease, and, you know, you're in love, then what do you do?
Right. I mean,
it
that's something to consider. I mean, that is something. You can date or get into a car accident and they lose a limb. Would you stop dating them because they lost a limb? I mean, so you have a valid point. Thank you, Carl.
I have one more thing to add to that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we do, we commit a crime. And it is broadcast all over national television. There's a website that you can go and look up a person's felonies, misdemeanors, or everything else or whatever. I personally, myself, do believe that to some extent there should be a website or some resource that we can use to be able to go and verify for ourselves a person that we are dating. I think that it is wrong for me to have to depend on someone telling me the truth when I can find it out for myself. Everybody lies.
You can't do that because of laws. That's what I'm saying.
You just
knocked on some people's doors. Hold on.
But I'm just saying, just as well as it's okay for you to say that I committed a felony, I robbed a bank, or I sexually molested a child, it should be okay for this information to
exactly.
be legal to be.
Okay,
you know
I'm going to check. We're going to take these next three callers, and then we have to move on to the next topic. 347-278.
What up? The caller just kind of hit on what I was going to ask. I was going to say, how relevant is the question these days? When you meet someone and you ask them, are you positive, you have people who will lie to your face. So the best bet is definitely to protect yourself no matter what because, again, you will have people who will lie to your face and not tell you the truth. You look on different sites, and if they ask status and stuff like that, people will say their status is negative, but yet they're willing to anything goes, those type of things. So it's like people will lie to your face, so your best bet is just to protect yourself at always.
Okay, thank you, Carla.
And you can protect yourself. I heard that, but do we know just as well as catching HIV and protecting yourself for a man, for a heterosexual couple, it's easy for a man to catch this. I'm not going to say easy, but it's possible for a man to catch this through his testicle sac. How are you protecting that from slapping up against wet juices?
Okay, now that's a new one for me. 404-536-404-536.
Hey, everybody, it's Marcus. To the person, I don't really even know how to.
Hey, Marcus.
Hey, y'all. I think first off, like, it's crazy that we would think in this day and age that a website would be needed for you to confirm someone's trust. If you don't want to do two things by either asking them and believing them or protecting yourself, then to me, you probably shouldn't be having sex with them from the beginning. So, like, you're going to assume everyone is guilty and everyone is positive, or you're going to believe your partner and kind of suffer the consequences. But to think that information should be out, we don't know who have cancer, we don't know who has, you know, all type of other things. It just seems weird. The second thing that I wanted to say, I wanted to come in a little earlier, but I just decided to listen. Statistically, you've probably slept with someone who's HIV positive and you just, for some reason, didn't, you know, you know, you weren't infected. I mean, but statistics basically prove, especially you live in, you know, D.C., Baltimore, Carolinas, Atlanta, you know, any urban city, if you've, you know, 4 out of 10 people were positive to actually go get tested. So if you've slept with 10 people, which is, you know, pretty apparent in, you know, in the gay scene, you've probably already slept with somebody positive and you just didn't know it. So assume everybody is positive. And, you know, protect yourself that way.
Right.
That's it.
Thank you, Marcus. I'm going to put you back on hold. If you have any other thing to say, press 1. Okay.
Well, Jason, since that was the last – well, Jason, before we go on, I just want to address the caller that called in and said that it seemed like I was bothered. No, it's not that I'm bothered. They're bothered by what you think. What I'm bothered is, okay, when the question comes up, now you get scared or – oh, you think, oh, it's kind of uneasy for you and all this stuff. My thing is, why that feeling that you have when the question come up, that feeling, why don't you have that feeling every time you have sex then? That's the only thing I'm saying. My thing, you have that feeling now that somebody brought it up. Why don't you have that feeling every time you have sex? That's all I'm saying, because you just have to be careful. That's what I'm saying. Like I said, everybody going around, you would rather, you know what I'm saying, you would rather... you know, date these people that's killing themselves, doing drugs and stuff like that, stealing out your house. Next thing you know, they dead from drugs and stuff like that. But you wouldn't date someone that's been honest with you, that is living a healthy life. That's what I'm saying. It just seems weird to me when people get uneasy because they find out versus being uneasy at all times when you're going around sleeping around. Now, if you're monogamous, it really probably don't apply to you anyway because you're going to be with that same person and just checking each other out every time. But I'm talking about this is really one of people that, like, date, sleep around, stuff like that, you know, because like I said on my post earlier today, we didn't all hold before. Some of us are just experienced more than others.
Okay. Thank you, J-Rock. Okay, private caller.
Confidentiality is the key to everything because the government has gave us the opportunity to have confidentiality when we get tested. When we get tested, it's confidentiality coming from somebody that's about to take an HIV test and is real scared and concerned about his HIV test, what it will do tomorrow from Walker Whitman around the Big Cherry area in D.C. But confidentiality is the key to what you guys were talking about and how it can affect people that want to know about their person or their spouse that they're dealing with status.
Okay, thank you, Bishop.
Well?
501-50, I'm sorry. 5043, y'all going to hell. 504-331.
That's me, y'all. It booted me off.
Okay, let me put your name next to that. Shamika. Okay. All right. Okay. Marcus, you're back.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to think. The last thing I want to say is, too, I really wish people would stop posting their results on Facebook. Like, it's something to brag about. I really believe that's further perpetuating the stereotype and it's keeping people from getting tested. No one really needs to know your status unless you're sleeping with them. But, two, you being negative today does not mean in 2 months you're going to be negative, even whether you had sex or not. So I think people really need to – I don't know what – I guess that's supposed to, like, lower people.
I don't see anything. Personally, I wouldn't post my status on my page, even though I'm negative. I wouldn't post it on my page, but I don't see anything wrong with it. And the reason why I don't see anything wrong with it is because if we were getting married and I gave you a 3-carat engagement ring, would you feel so ashamed to post a 3-carat ring on your finger on Facebook? You would not. It's something you're proud of. Why
but
not?
Hear that, Dick, but and my problem, and I don't often agree with Marcus, so it's going to rain tomorrow, but this is one thing that I do agree with Marcus on, that if you are posting your negative status, then why don't you post your positive status? If you're that proud...
You heard what I just said. As well as I think they should.
Because if you're that proud that you can post... Because to me, honestly, when someone posts, and this is my personal opinion, and if you have a problem with it, you know my inbox. If you're posting your negative status on Facebook, that's just saying, I was a hoe, and I lucked up, and I didn't catch it this time. Because that's what you're bragging about. Because how many people did you know that go get tested, that come back HIV negative, and they continue to go through their normal life, and they don't tell nobody, oh, yeah, I'm negative. So people that want to proudly post, oh, I'm negative, I'm negative, I'm negative, that's just like ballroom queens that say, well, bitch, I got a house, I got a car, and I got a job. Those are things that you're supposed to have. So you're supposed to know your status. Thank you.
I'm sorry, and it's making other people who feel as though, okay, well, I can trust this person because they're negative. Okay, well, just because you're negative when you got that test 2 weeks ago does not mean you're negative today, because God knows what you've done in between that time during that window period. I just really the government's never said take a test, know your status, and tell everybody. They're saying, know your status. Tell the people that are relevant to you, but telling the world is just perpetuating the stereotype that negative is normal. And gay scene, negative is just not normal. That's not normal. It's, you know, being positive is very, you know.
I think many people do it.
Thank you, Marcus.
That's it. Thank you.
I think many people do it because they think that they have something to prove.
Okay.
Like the young man who did it recently in the official ballroom chat room.
Mm-hmm.
I inboxed him. And like I told him, I said, you have nothing to prove to nobody. He was like, you know, I thank you for your kind words. They were trying to say that I'm HIV positive. I said, at the end of the day, no tea, no shade, but none of them bitches in that official ballroom chat room matter.
Okay.
None of them. You don't know them personally. They ain't sucking your dick. You ain't fucking them, so... what the fuck does it matter?
Granny, you're back.
Now, look at him. Honey, it's already been proven. When you have a sex these days, it's just a crapshoot. It's just a crapshoot. Let's be real. Hell. And when are we going to stop talking about prevention and demands of care? You think they don't have it? That's why I say you got to think about the bigger picture. Do you realize how much money all these pharmaceutical companies is making by keeping people sick? And this don't just affect the gay community. Look to Africa. Yeah, talking about your little shit over here. Look what's going on in Africa. And what's been going on?
Right.
When are we going to stop talking about prevention and tell them to issue the motherfucking cure that is, they've been sitting on?
Right.
I mean, but no shade. We can sit here and we can
tell
them. You
know what, Tricky Dicky? I ain't trying to insult you or nothing, but that statement you made was real foolish.
I mean, what point are you making? I mean, as far as what part of the statement?
When you were talking about they need to have some kind of site or whatever to disclose people's medical records. That was foolish.
Okay.
I mean, for me, it's just like, I'm saying, if that's the case, then what if I don't want anybody to know that when I was 18 years old, I did something that I'm ashamed of or whatever as far as a criminal act. And they post that all over the place. It's still my personal business.
I'm gonna put you back in the queue, Granny.
All right, baby.
Okay, you know what? I want to say something. Granny's right to a certain extent for me, and I will give her that. And what I will say is this: I'm gonna revise that question. I'm gonna revise my answer. And what I will say is this: if you've been reported one time of having sexual relations with someone without protecting yourself or disclosing the information to them and you are HIV positive, I think your name should be put on the roster. That's
I agree
as far
with
as
that.
I'll go with that.
Okay. Eric, you're back.
Y'all was talking about the people that was posting a negative status on Facebook and all that stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Y'all know that the Facebook is like the new Jackson and BGC and Adam for Adam. That's basically just advertisements. So the girls can be like, oh, that's a negative one, so we can, you know, she good, we can go ahead on and talk to her. That's like, to me, that's like advertisement. That's what the girls was using it for, advertisement, let them know that, you know, they went and got tested so y'all can holler at me. Come on now, y'all know how it is on that, the book.
Well, at the end of the day, if they want to be a hoe, at the end of the day, if they want to be a hoe, let them be a hoe.
Okay. So with that being said, we are shutting the door on that topic.
Thank you.
There was another hot topic that was brought to the attention of the room that I think we should have talked about before we got to that topic, but we will talk about that now. I haven't really been in the official room much today, but I saw it and Jasmine saw it, and it kind of sort of piqued both of our curiosity. So what does anybody know about that gentleman's story that was talking about Pony and Derek and all of those shenanigans?
Well, he was pretty much given that Pony broke up with him and Pony was lying, talking about it was because of his ego issues that they were breaking up, when in reality, Pony was just trying to hide his positive status.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I'm about to put it on mute.
I mean, if you want to ask me the question or whatever the case it is, if Pony's going around and sleeping with people without giving up that information and passing this along to people without their knowledge, I think that they should take a hot iron and burn it in his motherfucking arm.
Not the scarlet letter.
Yes, God.
Okay. Well, I guess we put that subject to rest, that topic to rest. Good, that was quick. No one pressed one for that. Woohoo! Okay, well, we talked about J-Rock. We talked about my hot topic. We talked about Shamika's. Did we talk about Shamika's?
Yeah, she was talking about the baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Calvin, did we talk about yours? Oh, yours was the surrogate.
Yes,
and, Dick, did we talk about yours?
Indeed.
Okay. Well, at this time, it's 1:30. I'm going to open the doors or the floor to any subject except HIV. Because y'all have depressed the fuck out of me.
And there's nothing to laugh about. That's the shade.
It is. It. But you know what? The reason I'm laughing, because in 2013, if you're not educated, I'm laughing at you. Because in 2013, it's not the HIV and the AIDS of 1989. You can live a long life.
I thought we were closing the doors.
What you say?
I thought we were closing those doors.
It's just a statement. It's just a statement. We are closing the doors, but if the only thing, the last thing on that is that in 2013, going into 2014, educate yourself, and don't just educate yourself on Google or Bing. Actually, get out, go into your community, find a HIV counseling center, or talk to your doctor, but educate yourself.
On that subject, we should do like Lean On Me. When they chain the door and won't let nobody in.
Right. I have a problem.
Okay, so, you know, I want to ask a question about this because this came across my desk today and I forgot to mention this. Okay, so a group of people on Facebook who are in the ballroom scene are getting together and they're getting ready to create a ballroom matchmaking system. How do y'all feel about that?
Girl, boo.
You mean like a
so
dating site?
Now HIV can be spread within our community because God knows.
I'm sorry, but God knows
the ballroom community is full of tricks and tricks and treats that lie about their status every fucking day, and do drugs that could, you know, actually get them a better chance, have them a better chance of getting HIV or anything like that. So, but yeah, have at it. Have fun with that.
Well, maybe they're going to match the hookers up with other hookers. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they won't make no money that way.
Okay, somebody said, talk about Caesar now visiting Kelly in Jamaica.
Oh, bro.
I don't know anything about that. Shaquita Thompson, I think that's how you pronounce
her
name.
He put it on his page, and he said that he went to go visit Kelly today. He was supposed to have an hour-long visit. However, they were allotted to give a two-hour visit, and she has more fans in there than she probably has out here. If anybody wants to send Kelly some love, they can put it on his page, and he would shout out those screenshots or however he's going to get them to Kelly.
That's sweet.
Oh, great. So more ways for him to make money off of Kelly.
Boom. He tries it, but it is what it is, you know. He got to make his money any which way possible.
Well, I mean, I really don't blame Caesar at this point anymore. Because for me, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and this may be really, you know, a touchy subject, and some people may get mad when I say this or whatever, but I felt like when they came and they pulled Kelly out of the back and she saw who the fuck was sitting at the table or whatever, she should have walked back to where she came from. No shame.
No, I don't blame him for going to see her. I mean, that's your friend. You're supposed to go see her. I don't blame him. For constantly trying to make money off this woman's downfall.
I'm sure there are people pressing for
it. I mean, it's all in, as a community, this is my thing. As a community, and this is to everyone who listens, if you really, really care about what's going on around you, then you have to weigh your options carefully, what you choose to indulge in and what you choose to exclude from your vision. For me, the ballroom throwbacks to me is exploitation.
Right.
And if you're willing to be, you know, subject to that or whatever, that's perfectly fine. I, on the other hand, don't feel like I should be on camera or I should be doing anything that's going to make another person money without giving me a public disclosure or me signing a personal disclosure for him to take and make money off of me personally.
Mm-hmm.
There
but
is
you know
no
what?
Such thing as simply realness anymore, because your realness is dead, because you're constantly being put into a light that you never asked to be in.
Well, most of the bitches that thirst for Caesar's attention anyway by posing everything else want the attention. They want to be plastered all on Facebook so they can have their name known or have their look known.
Okay, guys, we have a caller, 443-348-443-348. Good
morning,
everyone. Hey.
Good morning.
Naima. Hi, Naima.
I knew that was Naima.
Hey, Shamika,
were you trying to reach me?
Yeah, I was trying to send you a message. I wanted to ask you something, but send me a message because I want to talk to you about something when you get a chance.
Okay.
Okay. So y'all, okay, I got a topic for y'all. My topic I have is girls not being original and want to copy every fucking body. I'll give you a prime example. And I'm not talking about celebrities. I'm just talking about the girls on Facebook. Okay, so here lately I've been noticing everybody is using this line with the way my inbox is set up, the way my bank account is set up, the way my clothes are set up, the way this is set up. It's just like, girl, you are a set up for copying the next bitch's line. It's like, be original, be yourself. And stop giving all of that. Y'all will not catch me given any catchphrases, anything that the girls will take it, and they will just run it in the hole. It's just like
new weave, new weave.
Yes, anything. It's just like, come on. After a while, things just become redundant. You know, all of a sudden, the girls give her, oh, the way my realness is set up. You know, nobody's going to win over me. The way my inbox is set up, the girls will gag at these. It's like, girl, who cares?
It gets very old and tiring.
The same thing with that. I don't know who created that phrase, but Naima, do you own a pair of Louboutins?
You said, do I own a pair of Louboutins?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, then, I mean, for me, it's just like that. It's just something.
Like,
it's a fad for right now. It'll die itself out. It'll die itself out, and the next thing will come along.
Hold on, Louis Vuitton's will never go nowhere, honey. A certain style may go somewhere, but Louis Vuitton itself ain't going nowhere.
No, Louboutin.
Actually,
Christian
Louboutin. The perfectly honest or whatever, if you pay attention to the rich white cunts, they're already saying, I watched a program where the guy bring out some shoes, whatever. He said, well, you know, I'd like for you to try these on or whatever. She said, what are those? He said, these are a pair of Louboutins. She said, oh, those are so last year.
They don't want black people.
She didn't
want
to even hear that name anymore.
You know what
I'm saying? They over them already.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, it's just like, it's just redundant. It's just like, come on, you'll see one girl, one queen, or not just queen, let me not say that because I almost stereotype the girls, but you'll see one person say it, and then you'll see somebody else and somebody else, and then it's just like, it becomes like a broken record on a phonograph somewhere playing over and over again, because it seems like every time you go onto your Facebook, you see a whole bunch of doggone bitch stuff, but the way this is set up and the way it's set up, or the way this car drive is set up, you know, it's going to be, girl, for listen how redundant, like stupid you sound.
Yeah, my friend did that earlier. The way my WCW or Woman Crush Wednesday is set up had this whole, I was like, really? But Kevin Hart was the one who started that. You know,
because
you
but
didn't
see,
know.
I'm like, I mean, okay, with me, I'm just, I can call myself late because I know that
sometimes.
The crazy
part about it is that we've been saying this for years. It just took for somebody to coin the, for somebody popular to finally say it in a certain light for everybody to get it and run with it. Haven't
right.
we not been saying the way that judges panel was set up, she was never going to win.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So it just took for one person to finally put it in a certain way, and everybody started running with it. Nobody's copying nothing or whatever the case it is. I'm saying it's just that people want to say what the fuck they want to say. That's where it comes freedom of speech.
I mean, because some things like the word Bristol, I was using Bristol before I heard so many other people using it that I was like, well, bitch, when did the world start saying Bristol? Because I was like, that was just something I made up one day when I was talking to one of my friends, and I was like, bitch, you're going to be my Bristol forever. And it was just something I made up right then and there. But, I mean,
what is that?
It's like when you put brother and sister together and you just make one word, Bristol.
Oh, I thought you were saying like barista or something.
So, I mean, but I didn't hear what you're saying, Naima, because, I mean, even with, like, fashion, it's like certain things. Like, when I see certain people, if I have a pair of sneakers and I see, like, more than three people with them sneakers on, I don't wear them no more.
You know what, Jason? It's so funny you said something about sneakers, because I'm going to tell you a pair of sneakers that when they first came out, they were given exclusive tees. And now it seems like you could go to any projects or any hood, and you will see a piece or Butch Queen or somebody with those doggos sneakers on. And that's them sneakers that got them wings on it by that guy Jeremy Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is wearing those.
And phones.
Hold on. What's wrong with J-Rock? Did y'all catch the post in the room?
No. I'm trying to do too many other things right now and keep on track. What is J-Rock on?
Yeah, and phone pots. It's funny how the phone pots, how the girls will rob, cheat, steal, kill, whatever, to stand in line to buy this man who could care anything about you but make money off of you for a pair of phone pots. But you say these same broke bitches can't go down there and go get them a doggone job, some doggone well, or even at a labor, or even a day labor, because you know down here, Jason, you know we got the day labors down here in Baltimore.
Right. Wait a minute, did J-Rock hang up?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
He always gets hung up. I think that's just something.
No, okay, you know what? Okay, I'll deal with that after.
Because we both got hung up last night, and I got hung up already tonight. I went first, though.
Well, it is 1:41, but I don't see that post by J-Rack. I see the post where he's talking about an alien or something.
Yeah.
Good night. I see I'm a fucking alien. Y'all missed the whole point one day. J-Rack, I don't believe anybody missed your point. It's just that we all have our individual views, because I'm clearly on your side, and I respect your point of view, and most of us do, but there are going to be those naysayers that are going to feel how they feel. And, yes, there are going to be those that would rather go sleep with somebody, well, I don't even know how you do, Tina. So there are going to be those.
Me neither. I've never seen it done.
I don't even know how to do it. Is it a pipe or is it a needle?
So I don't even know. But there are going to be those that want to do Tina, that's going to want to do Miley's and want to do all kinds of things, and then there's going to be people like you. The only thing like you can say, only thing that I can say that we can all say and that we can also agree to disagree on, is that the life you save may be your own.
Mm-hmm. I don't, you know what, when it comes to stuff like what you just posted right here, whatever, I'm really not understanding, because this is not a dictatorship where one person can tell everybody how they are supposed to think. If that was the case, then you should have made a statement and left it as opposed to making it a question how everyone felt. And then
we
had to deal with the ramifications
of
how everyone felt at the end of the day.
Right.
But go ahead, Naima. Sorry.
But yeah, you know, piggybacking on what, you know, Jason said, you know, about, you know, the shoes and stuff like that. Yeah, it's just like, you know, what happened to the originality? You know, people
right.
need to be original. You know, like I said, you won't catch me giving all of those antics on Facebook. Anybody who knows me know I'm my own entity, my own person. I speak my mind. I say whatever I want, and I pay it.
And you know,
and,
like, the
well,
thing with me,
you.
It's like if I don't follow the Fed, it's like when I follow a Fed, and that's why I say I can call myself late, because it's like by the time I get into something that everybody else is into, everybody else is over it. So by the time I get into it, I'm into it by myself, and that's fine. Because, like, Obey, I still don't know the point of it. I'm like, when you see all these boys and girls and shit walking around with, like, the Obey hat on and Obey shirt, I'm like, what the fuck is
that
about?
But you know what, though, Jason? You missed the show.
So, Jason,
I'm sorry, Calvin.
So, Jason, you
saying
you over there, who is up with Jabo?
What'd you say?
I said, so what you saying, you over there suited up with Jabo?
With who?
Jabo.
Your accent is
Jabo.
What's Jabo?
Y'all don't know what Jabo is?
No.
No.
It's all
the label?
People here used to wear, like, dudes here used to wear Jabos.
Yeah.
Well,
we
might be called something else here. It might be called something else here.
No, it's not. It's called that. It's called
Girbaud.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I never heard of that.
Me either.
You know,
y'all never heard of
going to speaking into what y'all are talking about or whatever the case it is just like in the ballroom scene. We tend to look at the icons and the legends as celebrities, and I think we take that just a tad bit too far. Don't get me wrong. I understand that we look up to these people.
Oh, Jabo James. Oh no, I never had
right.
a fan of.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I wasn't going to even touch that. You hadn't heard of that. But when it comes to looking at these people or whatever the case, we look at them as celebrities or whatever, not realizing that they put their panties on or their boxers on one leg at a time, just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
So if they come out and somebody has a new set of titties or somebody's got a new nose job, that's the new in thing for everybody to want to go do, and that's why we see ourselves in our community or whatever with a lot of these girls, you know, going to get oversurged because they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. Or a lot of these guys or whatever doing this and doing that. And even the guys are starting to get into this plastic surgery thing or whatever, what I think is, like, just crazy because I wonder what they're going to look like at the age of, like, 45, 50 years old.
Right.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Can I ask y'all one thing? How did what's her name? The Saint Laurent lady, the pretty lady.
Octavia,
how did she die?
Okay. She had a mixture of a couple of things or whatever, but the main thing that was going on with her was that she had cancer.
Cancer, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when it comes to fads, no tea, no shade, but, bitch, I'm a little too big to be following any type of clothing fads or
okay,
designer fads.
If I can find my size, bitch, I'm happy.
Exactly. It really doesn't even matter.
Somebody asked how Danielle Revlon died. Danielle Revlon died of complications from a couple of things.
Okay, thank you for cutting me off, Derek.
No, I'm sorry.
But y'all know, I don't know, sometimes I watch old Vogue videos of femme queens and stuff like that, and I'm really, like, in awe because one lady that my friend dug up for me was Mercedes. I don't know what she was, but she was a femme queen. I don't know what house she was in. That's what I'm saying, not what she was, but how she was in. She was a femme queen, and I liked her Vogue. I think it's really cute, but once I've been getting more up-to-date with her videos and stuff, she did too much with her body. At first, it looked so sexy to me, like her thighs contoured with her ass, her hips contoured with her thighs. Like, she was right to me.
I understand what you're saying. Like, no shade. I'm not trying to follow the masses, but I live and die and breathe for Laura. I mean, her videos give me so much life, bitch, to where I'm in my house standing up like, yes, bitch. Like, yes. Like, she
you know
gave
what? When
me
it comes
everything.
To, when it comes to Mercedes and a lot of the film queens' work and stuff like that or whatever, I really don't touch it. Because as a gay community or whatever, we look
dead.
At them and say, oh, my God, her ass is too big. Oh, my God, her titties is too big. Oh, my God, her head is too big. But at the end of the day, some of these girls walk down the street and live a normal life. And the trade don't look at that the way we look at it. They just see, oh, my God, I got to
right,
have some of that fat
ass. Right, because they
haven't
seen the transformation.
So it doesn't really matter to them what a fat thinks at the end of the day.
Well, wait a minute. Let me there's a few things I want to say. Okay. Now, the first thing you said something about we look at the icons and legends as celebrities or whatever in the scene. I don't. I'm not being serious when I say this, but I just don't. I look at them as, okay, it's just somebody else who was talented or somewhat talented or used fear to get where they at, you know. Not
Ooh.
Saying any names, but I just look at it like that, you know, and it is. And I get respect when respect is giving, because respect doesn't cost anybody anything.
Exactly.
So if you give it, I give it. If you don't, then I don't. And that's just what it is. Now, as far as the surge and the girls and the surge or what have you like that, you know, silicone, yes, still is addictive, okay? But you have to know when enough is enough. See, these girls get it twisted. They think that when they coming out there, they walk a sex tire and they walk in body, and they out there, and their body look like a battered, bruised woman, a domestic woman that was beat up or something like that or what have you. And even though they have little contours on it, and they think that's cute or whatever, and they get all this androgynous body. But at the end of the day, when you out there in society or whatever, unless you're not trying to go for the realness effect, people are going to, like, ridicule you. Like, you got to make your life hard. Life can really be as easy as you want it or as hard
mm-hmm.
as you want it. It depends on what you make of it, because we can possess our outcome of a lot of things that happen. And I look at these girls when they go and they get these cheeks that look like handlebars, and they get all of this ass, you know, and they walking around looking like, you know, boomerangs, and they looking like all types of, you know, creations
boomerang.
And everything like that. And it's just like, bitch, where are you going at? In the ballroom world, they give you life and read you for it. But then out in public, it's like kids o'clock. You're like, mommy, what is that? Like, look at him, you know, and all types of things. Who wants to go through that?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I really feel like it's not a bad thing, because then it gives people a chance to look at you for what you're worth mentally, as opposed to what you're worth physically. At the end of the day, all of us are going to come to a time in our life where none of us are going to be physically desirable or attractive.
Exactly.
You have to be worth more than that mentally, period.
Mm-hmm.
I will say when it comes to thinking that certain icons are famous and stuff, in the beginning, when I first learned about this thing, I can't say I idolized them, but I put them on a pedestal, some of them. But when I actually start learning about them, and when I decided,
finish that, and then I'm gonna go to this caller.
Okay, when I decided to speak to them, and some of the bitches paid me dust, you know, or when I did talk to them, and they treated me some type of way just for saying hi, that's when I started saying, fuck you, you and your mother. I would call names, but I'm not going to go there. Now, when it came to Jasmine, when it comes to Jasmine, I love her down. And when I first got to talk to her on the phone by myself, I lived, because I respect her so much.
Mm-hmm.
You hear so much about this bitch giving $25,000 balls, $20,000 balls, $15,000, and you're like, damn, it's really you. And she's nice. Like, she's not arrogant. She's not stuck up. And when we actually have in-depth conversations, it's like, damn, yo, Jasmine, for real? I love
yes,
her
Calvin,
down.
Yes, Lady Calvin, I can honestly say that when me and Jasmine talk about you, you are such a one. You are such a kid. Hold on. I'm 917-693. Bear with me. I do have this dyslexia.
It's
693.
Go ahead,
baby. What's up?
Hey, callers. This is Keisha.
Hey,
y'all.
Hey, Keisha.
I was trying to call before, but I kept getting bumped off. But I want to talk about the surge and the hormones. And, you know, what I would have to say is with the surgery with the femme queens and the transsexuals and the transgender, I think it's a matter of to each his own. Some do it to have that realist effect. Some do it because they want to impress the ballroom scene. Some do it because, from what I was told, you know, a lot of them, they do the dating thing.
and the guys like to have that animated look. My question is, when they put that stuff in their body, isn't it considered industrial toxin that can also cause cancer and kill you?
Any foreign agent that you put in your body is not healthy for you. But there are also some medical-grade silicones that you can put inside of you that your body can't sustain. It's all about the amount that you use and the time allotted that you put in between.
Mm-hmm.
In between.
That's right. And medical-grade silicone, medical-grade silicone, when I went to get my implants, my doctor showed me, because my plastic surgeon had to take my seal out of my tips that I had, and I got silicone cohesive implants. And my doctor showed me, he showed me an actual bottle of medical-grade silicone. And that bottle was, if any of the girls know about, like, getting moans, like, delectogen.
Wait a minute, cut you off, Naeem. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen that are listening. The time is now 1:53. You have about 9 minutes to call in before it actually goes into record mode. So if you're listening from the computer, you may want to press 1 now to just stay in the queue. If you're listening from the computer, you may want to call in now before it actually goes into record mode. If we lose you, I want to say thank you again for tuning in to Tens and Chops Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday with the recap show, Talk Trash Tuesdays, and the State of Emergency with Jasmine Couture on Wednesday nights. We want to send out prayers and warm wishes to Jasmine and hope that she gets better soon. Again, you now have about 6 minutes to call in if you want to continue to listen with the show. If I lose anyone once we go into record mode, it's been a pleasure to sit with you this week, and I look forward to doing it again with you next week. Thank you. You can continue, Naeema.
He showed me the bottle, and the bottle was like a little bit bigger than the Delestrogen bottle of moans that the girls, you know, get away with. It was like a little bit bigger than that, and that was $500, he told me. Mm. And he was like, you know, he said the stuff that they're getting from, you know, these Home Depot and Lowe's stores and things like that, he said that is not medical grade, that's not real. And he also told me that medical grade silicone is really only used for, like, as a filler. Like, if somebody had in a car accident or something, let's say, like, the side of your face got smashed in or something, or, like, your knee smashed in, like, they would use it as a filler, and they wouldn't use that much of it, just like, you know, what Calvin just said. So that is true. But I want to say one other thing, and then I'm going to let Keisha go back. As far as hormones, when Jasmine was talking about what would y'all do or what would the girls do, you know, if you couldn't buy any hormones, well, I will say this, y'all go kid, but I'm dead serious when I say this. I haven't taken hormones in the past 5 years, and I don't think I'm missing it. So... you know, it works for me.
Okay. The reason why I would have to say for calling mention of Laura, and that was my bitch, that was, if anybody wants to know what a thin queen body should look like, take a look at Laura.
Yes.
Oh, wait, let me finish. Don't cut me off. Laura is the epitome of what a thin queen body should look like. And anybody who knows, I knew Laura when she was a butch queen in drag, where she was pencil thin, boned, okay? And when she was her transformation, she disappeared for, like, maybe 4 or 5 months. She did it the right way, and I'm sure she met and she spoke to the legends who knew what to do. She disappeared for, like, 4 or 5 months, and when she came back, the bitch walked a ball at Stem Queen performance, and she turned it, but her body was sitting from her tits to her ass to her hips to her face, to her cheekbone. And I say any thin queen wants to be a thin queen, take the notes of how Laura did it. Listen to the old girls because they know. These new girls
I
today with all this moans in their body looks disgusting. And you know what? They won't reach to the age of 45 or 50. Not because of diseases, just because of the drinking and the sick and the moans that they're putting in their body. And I call it industrial toxins. Because that's also what's killing the girl. It's them shit they put in their body because it's not real. It's not real moans. It's that shit they find from these fucking industrial stores.
I have to say something about that when you say Allura has the epitome of a femme queen body. Don't get me wrong. I live for Allura for her craft and as a person, period, because I knew her personally or whatever the case it is. But when it comes to femme queen body, that's not what I per se. Say that for yourself. Don't say you know, this is what the epitome was. For yourself, that was the epitome. For me, it was not. And that's
okay,
no
that's
shade
your,
to nobody.
That's
no
your,
shade to
that's your,
at all.
But that's your
all.
Opinion. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. That's your opinion. Everyone's entitled
well,
to their opinion.
Well, who was it for you?
There are a couple of people. If you want to say the epitome of a femme queen body, I have to go with I can go to a couple of people. Atlanta's mother, Honey Garcon. Look at her fucking body. Look at
yeah.
Look at Sexy Lexi's motherfucking body. Look
mm-hmm.
at look at Angel. Angel's body is not to be played with. Look at Ayana. Ayana Revlon, her body's not to be played with. Look, there's a couple of girls that I can say have nice bodies. Who I would say the epitome of body is, I couldn't tell you because I don't want the shit in me. But for me, Allura's body was not the epitome of what I would model a body to be after that anybody wanted to go after. Just that was your opinion. I don't
okay.
like anybody else to speak for me.
Again, we're not. You're kind of confusing. We're not talking about maybe walking sex siren. We're talking about there's different types. Okay, let me rephrase it. There's different types of the epitome of a femme queen body. If you walk in a certain category, yes. With the people you're saying, maybe their category was different from what Allura walked.
Okay, but Alyssa had very much white woman body. Alyssa had
okay.
very much white woman body, and it was sickening.
Right, you
and
know
she
what,
walked
that's
sex siren, but it wasn't the kind of sex siren body that we see today, but it was a different type of setup.
Well, do you see what I'm saying, how today...
Hello?
Keisha's call dropped, so we lost Keisha, we lost Shamika. No, Shamika, you're still here?
I'm right here.
Okay, I'm looking at the thing. Keisha's call dropped, so we've lost Keisha. This point, it's now 1:59, and some people wanted to talk about...
We have to get into American Horror Story.
Well,
please,
I'm trying
please.
To watch that now, so can we talk about that?
Man.
I'm trying to
Turn
watch it
up.
So, y'all, I'm watching
that.
I mean, y'all can talk about it because it's not going to ruin it for me because right now I'm looking at the part when the alligator eats the man up, so I'm gagging.
Well, that's the beginning, baby.
Yeah, because, I was doing the show, so I can't concentrate. But we can talk about it because it's not going to ruin it for me. So, if y'all want to talk about American Horror and what happened tonight, you all can talk about that. We can talk about what you think is going to happen on Scandal tomorrow, or what do you think about... Other than myself, Naima, have you watched The Witches of East End yet?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh,
I have.
Girl,
I
yes.
Now.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, we'll start with The Witches of East End, and then we'll end with The Witches of American Horror Story. Word.
Okay,
so
but
what
wait,
do you all think
I,
about
I,
those
can,
witches?
Well, can I, before you go into that, can I say just one thing that I just been burning just to say?
Yes.
I'm not being shady when I make this, but I just want to say this, and then we can go into that.
Okay.
When Keisha said the girls need to learn from the old girls, they need to learn from the old girls with their bodies and stuff like that, it's no shame. Some of those old girls' bodies did not move, and some of those old girls' bodies look fast. Okay?
Jason, are you sitting with us for the rest of the night now that we're about to talk about the TV shows?
I am. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, now, Jace, okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, it is now the 2 o'clock hour. It is now TV recap hour. Let me just go down the list of people that are still here. Dick is here. Calvin is here. I am here. Shamika is here. Naima is here. And Jason is here. If you have anything you want to say about any of the shows that we watch or watching, at this time you can press 1. So let's start this show.
You
now,
say
I think with Witches of East End, that gives me very much Charmed, but a new version.
Right.
I love that show. I mean, I was addicted to Charmed. Like, I've seen every episode at least 3 or 4 times. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. The only thing I don't like is that... they're taking their time killing the killer. I mean, the major killers, like this shapeshifter. I don't
right.
like the fact that it's probably going to take them 2, 3, 4 episodes to finally kill this bitch.
Right.
But other than that, it's the show is, I love it. I love it.
I think that those, I think that guy is a warlock.
the other brother.
Yes,
I think that they have some kind of magical powers too, and their mother is trying to keep them from them. The one that she had the dream about.
Yes, because they said their dad was a powerful one.
Right.
So yeah,
girl, that
you
feedback,
know
that feedback
black.
Is carrying on his phone.
Yeah, my movie Crooklyn.
That is, that's Jason's background, I think.
Yeah, that is Jason.
Who on the stroll?
Who?
No, I think he's calling from Skype.
Yeah, I think Jason is calling from Skype, so it's going to sound a little windy and stuff. So, I mean, you all can, well, we talked about that, so what do you all think? What, give me a rundown of what happened on American Horror.
Oh, my God, I love how they still, like, all their stories branch off into their own, but it all comes into one whole circle and mix of how they're connected to me. Marie LeBeau obviously must put the same potion she gave to Kathy Bates, the immortal one, because she is fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And looks not a day over 25, so. But, you know, really, in the real storyline, Marie LeBeau, she actually was a hairdresser. And she specialized in doing white women's hair because, you know, they paid her good money.
Right.
And that's during the time when she really used to sell her potions and stuff like that. So that storyline is true.
But my whole thing is, I understand that Kathy Bates, but that bitch looked ugly and old. So why would she...
her skin does not look flawless, I'm sorry. That's the same state she was in. So you're going to be the same age you were when you were immortalized, right?
Right. And
you're not going to get a day older than that.
Every movie that I've ever seen Kathy Bates in, I lived for her. But this show is testing me because when she knocked Gabby out and, you know, she's calling these black people niggers and stuff, like, it's
called a nigger witch.
Right. It kind of, you know, makes me draw back from her. I have to remember that she's in character. I mean, but no shade. It was the same thing with Precious's mother. I couldn't stand Monique, even though I live for her. So.
And the one that has Down syndrome, I fucking live for her too. She said, "Oh, your thoughts are too loud." She said, "Fuck that bitch. You gotta get out this house. I don't give a fuck who keeping you in this one, bitch. I'm about to let you free because you're about to fuck my head up with these thoughts, bitch. I ain't having it." And as far as another thing, I don't know if they would get into this, but Marie LeBeau actually had a daughter whose name was Marie LeBeau II.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of her daughters were named with Marie in it, but this specific one was Marie LeBeau II. And a lot of her antics they thought were with her, but it was actually her daughter because she lived longer than her daughter. So that's a big mix-up, too. Like, that's why a lot of people don't really know her true age and stuff like that, and a lot of things she practiced, like when she went to Punch a Train or the Bayou St. John and did certain rituals and stuff. It really wasn't her; it was her daughter.
Okay.
Did she give y'all very much poetic justice tease when you first seen her?
Yeah, it was very. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do y'all think? Do y'all think that they're going to downplay Gabby's character, the human voodoo doll?
I think they're waiting for the script to turn in a certain way to really throw her in the limelight.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Everybody's going to have their own.
Voodoo dolls are a big part of New Orleans and voodoo history. Period. Black magic.
I think her and Angela Bassett is going to match up. They're going to pair up.
Because it seems right because you know Marie LeBeau did the voodoo doll thing.
Exactly.
And it was over for her to dip her hand in that motherfucking grease.
Yes, I just saw
it. Yes. Over that one piece of chicken. Like, she was like, "I already know, nigga. Pencil dick. I know you ate that one piece of chicken, and you're trying to get a free piece, nigga. I'm on to
your game." I love how the girls did not live for Gabby before, but now that she's on the show, everybody's like, "Oh, Gabby this, Gabby that."
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a Gabby fan. I liked her when she was on The Big C.
What about when she was in Seven Psychopaths?
Oh, I didn't see that. I got to see.
Oh, I never
heard
that.
Well,
I never heard of her until she was in Precious. So.
Nobody heard her until she was in Precious.
She was in Precious first.
Yeah,
but she
Seven Psychopaths. Okay. I guess that'll be one of my Halloween movies to watch. Seven Psychopaths.
No, no, no.
Where?
Seven Psychopaths.
Her and Angela Ransfield.
It's not a scary movie.
No, it's not a scary movie. Seven Psychopaths is literally about this guy who's he used to write movies, and he's trying to write a movie. His friend gives him an idea about these seven psychopaths who kill people. And come to find out, one of his friends, the friend that gave him an idea, is one of the psychopaths.
Okay.
Like, it gives funny and thriller at the same time.
Okay.
But in that beauty shop, they read each other for filth. I loved it.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I can believe it.
She also
and
played
then
in that movie,
she still
The
has
Ice.
A lover. That, ooh, that freaked me out because I want to know, like, did she behead him? What did she do? Like, I understand. Or was that stone onto his neck or something? Like, did she behead him and put that, you know, that bull head or whatever that is on, you know, on his shoulders? Like, what did Kathy Bates do to him?
No, his exactly. head was still underneath there, but his head was still underneath there, and he could just see through the bull's head. But she,
okay, well, why didn't she take it off after all these years, and why is she still holding him like a prisoner? Like, this is your lover, and you haven't.
Wait a minute, he's still alive?
Yeah,
yes.
At the end, you see him, bitch.
He's
watch.
Immortal, too, baby.
What?
Baby, yes.
Okay, we have a caller. We have a caller, 240-723.
Just listening.
Okay, thank you. Just press one and take your hand down.
But that surprised the shit out of me, too. He's the exact same way he was in Cat the Beast House, shackled up with the damn
Yeah, I'm about to say, Jason,
his, like,
now that's the key. He's shackled up. He is shackled
That's
up.
That's what I don't understand. This is your lover. I mean, I know you immortalized him, but what is your reason for having him shackled up, or do you see him
think,
as an animal now? What do you
I don't
see
think
him as?
Because I'm old, because what I'm thinking is he probably is going to be the key to if she, he's probably going to got some kind of key to why Kathy Bates is still alive.
Well, no, 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 no. See, I don't think that his head is under that bull's head. I think whatever
Me
Kathy
either.
Did.
I think she took it off and sewn it on.
Whatever Kathy did intertwine him to become the bull, because after she unchains him, she goes, it's time for us to catch her again, or I need your help to catch her, or
yeah.
something like that.
Oh.
So, yes, I think he's going to get very much Minotaur monster tease.
Well, she did say she always wanted her very own Minotaur.
And then the preview, you saw him coming, he was kind of coming at Gabby in a dark alley, so I guess that's when she's going to, like, probably, you know, get on their team because she is the voodoo doll.
What about Scandal?
I don't know. He could be very intimidating.
But you know
let's
who I think
Scandal.
Is, before we talk about Scandal, do you know who I think is going to be the one to take that Supreme down?
Who?
That girl.
The dingy one
that's just like her. But, bitch, let me tell y'all this. I'm not making fun of retarded people because I don't know if that girl is special or not. But when she sat in that lot, in that garden and she was like the hostess of the house or whatever, she said, I fell out when they digged up that woman out that grave. I was like, they had that big bitch in that coffin.
Now, my question is, how the fuck did she walk? No shade. When I was in the hospital for 7 months, bitch, I lost a shitload of muscle,
you're
mass.
You're immortalized in the same state you were in, so you're still able to do everything you were able to do at that time.
Ooh,
you're stuck
bitch,
in a train.
Give me that medicine. Give me that medicine.
I think a lot of girls
I like
need
that
it.
They. I like how they play on different stereotypes of young girls. Not today. Like there's always the big chubby one. There's always the white teeny one. There's always the one. You know, the one. Your mom probably had one baby that has Down syndrome. Like I like how they're playing. Like the way they casted this whole show. I love it. I love everything about it.
I don't. Right now, I don't like the little dingy one because she's giving me very much.
I love her though.
I feel like she's kind of coming into her own,
understanding that this is her
family now. Who, the Black Widow? You talking about the Black Widow? I need to find out more of
what she can do. Because if she just fucks niggas and they brain pops, that's not interesting to me.
Wait a minute. Granny got something to say. Let me bring Granny back.
Lord.
Is she still in the queue? Granny, press one. I see you talking in the chat room, but press one.
There
she
go.
This
is what I'm
saying
to Crooklyn when she go with the
fool saying,
ha, ha,
go ahead, Grant. I was just talking about how y'all foolish watching all that bullshit. I'm just sitting over here smoking. Y'all going to learn, though, if y'all ever reach my age. But carry on.
Okay.
You ain't got to put me on mute. I ain't going to talk. I ain't tarded like Bishop them.
Oh.
Bishop really did a number tonight. Like, you know, he always sat around and really covered himself.
He, he got under my skin when he came for Jasmine.
With, I've had a personal conversation with Bishop. And Bishop is a very, very sweet person. And I think that most of the time, the way we don't understand is that Bishop is dealing with a lot more than we want to give him. He's just dealing with a lot more than we know, or whatever the case it is. So I think that sometimes he needs to edit himself, and he probably should go ahead, if he's still listening, give an apologetic letter to Jasmine about what you did tonight, because it was not right and it was not warranted of you.
Oh, this
yourself.
Ain't school day.
Maybe she'll feel.
This is not school. Well, then,
and
if that's the case, then.
I mean.
Well, if that's the case, then he needs a psychologist who's looking for a challenge.
Hold on.
Zayma, how you doing, baby? I missed you. I didn't know you were still on the line.
Hey, Grandma.
But that,
I see your granny loves some Naima. Carry on.
Now, what about? Now, I think the white bitch, Kathy Bakes, is going to turn against that family because they done made her the maid.
Mm-hmm.
They done made Kathy Bakes the maid.
They
put her
the maid. She is now the maid.
You're the maid.
Bitch, when she said Mary Todd Lincoln.
But what Marie Laveau did to her was some nasty shit. She really made her stuff and made her see, like, her fucking kids hung, her husband, like, bitch, I'm going to put it all on a map for you. Like,
I think that was fierce. I think that was fierce and in a good way. I mean, seeing what she done did to that bitch's husband and what she did to all the other black
people.
She needed her kids.
I mean, yeah, that was only fair to what she did to all them black people, talking about, do you want these half-breeds to be your, to get half of your inheritance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cause her daughter was fucking him, and then her daughter fucked Marie Laveau's lover, but he didn't want to have sex with her, and he was trying to say that he really, I mean, she basically
yeah,
came on
she
to
started,
me and
yeah, she basically
it.
Raped him.
Right.
I mean that's yeah. Mm. You can't be mad with a guy who's
stuff
sick.
She took out their appendix and shit, and they were alive. Yelling and shit with no fucking skin on their face and shit. She was a fierce bitch.
Yeah, that gave me a bitch. I was watching the Animal Planet, bitch, and hyenas was eating this motherfucking animal still alive. That's what it gave me. I was like, yes, bitch.
So does anybody other than myself, and I know Jasmine, watch The Walking Dead?
No.
I do watch their marathons every once in a while when it's on, but I'm really not up to date with what's going on.
Okay.
I can't get into zombie shows.
Really?
I mean, movies, yes, like Dawn of the Dead and
I left off on was when they...
Well, hell, you walking among zombies, all these goddamn drugs they doing.
No shade. No shade, Granny. You're right. Yeah, but I can't. Like, the last movie I got into with zombies was Warm Bodies. That was all right.
Yeah, I never seen it.
Y'all want to talk about a movie? Okay, I know I want to key for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, the last movie I seen was Insidious 2.
Don't talk about it. I haven't seen it either. Please don't do it.
Well, it's just like two parts I want to talk about that's the key to me in the movie, but I haven't seen part one. Everybody keep telling me, I have part one here, but I haven't seen it because I'm waiting to watch it with somebody because, you know, Jason, I got this surround sound in here, and everybody keep telling me that it's going to spook me out with the surround sound in here.
It did not spook me out at all.
What movie?
Insidious.
Insidious 1.
Oh, Insidious 1 was scarier than 2 to me.
Well, then I'm not going to like 2.
Well, honey, I went to go see two in the movie theaters with two friends of mine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the theater was, like, somewhat kind of packed in there, what have you. Well, bitch, the whole key for me was when the spirit, the mother.
Was a drag queen.
Well, no, her son was a drag queen, but
right.
When she the first slap that she gave to the mother of the child, because the mother, you know, she kept signifying, because she was just like, who in there playing that piano? You remember she kept tipping around in there, and she came up to her, she said, how dare you? And she slapped the shit out of her. So when she slapped her, I gagged. But the ultimate tea was when she was singing the song. What did she say, Mally, Mally? What did she say, Mally? Mally, 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 life is but a dream, or something like that she was singing. And she was singing to her child, who was a boy, but he really was in drag. And the mother was like, I don't, but that's not my name. She said, what did you say? And she walked over to them. Mind you, this is a spirit. They both dead. And she walked over to the child and snatched his gilda off of there. Snatched his gilda off of him, and because he was in full gear, she had him all up in drag and painted and everything, and she slapped fire in him. She said, "Your name is Marilyn." And she was going, and that movie was more of a key to me. But I'm waiting to see part one now. But that
part
was my
one
key
to me. Like I said, it was hilarious. I didn't get scared. Everybody was like, "How was you not scared, bitch?" Because it wasn't scary. Now The Conjuring. That was scary. I was upstairs with my nephew.
I haven't seen that even. Oh.
I was looking around, scared shit, like, oh, God, what is my 10-year-old nephew going to do if some motherfucking witch pop out the closet? Like,
but you know what, I'm going to tell you something, though, about movies. I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who knows me knows that I am a horror
movie
fanatic.
Fanatic.
I mean,
yeah, you can tell.
I live to be scared, like, bitch, spooky.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I live for that whole effect. But I'm going to tell you a movie. Oh, the only type of movies that scare me is stuff that I know that happens in real life or that can possibly happen in real life. Those are the only movies that scare me. Like, for other stuff like Texas Chainsaw and Jason and all that, Karen and stuff like that, you know, I kid that and Freddy Krueger.
Well, speaking of that name, Graham want to recommend a movie to y'all, and it's called Elysium. The new movie with Matt Damon.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Uh-huh. Well, I wonder about the other cast. What did you think of that movie? I ain't seen it yet, but I want to see it.
I've never seen
the trailer.
I haven't heard of it. What's the name of it, Granny?
Elysium.
I never heard of it at all.
It's with Matt Damon. It just came out.
Is that a drug movie?
No, it's all these robocops, like, it's just when, it's supposed to be, like, I guess after a disaster and when the government takes really total control of you and everything is computerized or what have you.
Oh, that seemed like your type of movie, Granny.
Yeah, it's very realistic. I've been hearing a lot of debates on it or what have you. People say, 'cause, you know, a lot of times Hollywood will show you what they going to do to you
before
it happens.
Yes,
and that's
God.
Real shit.
Well, I'll give y'all...
Just
I'll
like
give y'all,
before Katrina, they had a Family Guy episode about it.
Right, exactly. Even long before it came on, baby. And that's already been proven.
Well, I can give y'all a little bit of tea of what the movie gives without telling you the movie.
Tell me too. I just seen the trailer.
Okay. Well, the movie is basically it's set in the future, and these people you know, some type of war or disaster has happened to the Earth, and what happens is the ultra elite and the ultra rich. Have came together and built a heaven in space. So I'm calling it heaven because y'all know what heaven is supposed to have in it. So to give y'all an idea. Well, anyway, they built this space station metropolis in space, and it overlooks the planet. And only the super rich, or only certain blood types, and the super rich and the super, you know, elite can live in this metropolis. You know, they have, like, you know, the best schools, the best. I mean, everything is organic from the grass to the air, to everything. And they have taken all of the resources from Earth and has brought it there and made it, you know, 100 times better. But also on this metropolis, it's a pentagram. It's actually the Satan's pentagram sitting in the sky. But you got to know it when you see it, when you look at it. But anyway, up there, you know, there's no diseases, there's no sickness, and you live forever. They actually have machines that if you ever get sick or if you ever catch a disease going down to planet Earth to do something or to work or whatever and you're coming back, then everybody has this healing machine inside of their homes, everybody. And you just get into the machine, and you before you get in there, you type in there what you think you have or the disease or whatever the case may be or your symptoms, and you get in the machine and it heals you. And there is no death, there's no sickness, there's no pain, no nothing up there. And it's called Elysium. So that's to kind of give you the gist of it. But also people try on Earth be trying to get to this planet. Try to get to this star because it's a star that sits up there, but it's actually a devil star, a satanic star. And if people are trying to get to it because people are dying, the resources is gone, the water is bad, you know, shit like that. So they're trying to get off. The whole agenda is getting off of Earth to get up there, to be healed, to get food and things like that. It's a sad movie.
Okay.
All right, and ain't the police robots and all that shit and look like the Earth's been destroyed.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then most of the regular people is the one that's on Earth.
Right.
Granny,
yeah,
and another
that's
thing
it.
I
that's
can
what
see.
I see in the trailer.
Granny, and another thing I can add on, I remember like a month before Katrina, they had laid, we have a big yard like in front of our house and behind our house. We played in front of our house because I was only going to eighth grade when Katrina happened. They had a random lady who looked like a, probably like a bag lady or something like that coming down our street. And she stopped in front of my mom. My mom was like at the front of our gate and she said, I see water up to your door, right here. And how she put her hand, like, over her head. If you stood there in that same exact spot, that's where the water line was that settled on our house. So I believe in, like the power of people and how they really get these images in their heads of things before it happened. Like, shit is really crazy.
I know.
Like,
you
I understand
do,
how they
you
say
do.
When it's the return of God, no one will know. But I believe, like, some people do get some type of visions of, you know,
I know you believe that you down in Louisiana, and yeah, and it's very mystical down there. So I know you do.
Well, I will tell y'all this much: y'all could definitely tune in tomorrow at 11 p.m. Where we will definitely be talking about religions and religious things and people in the church and how the word has been doctrinated. And people's lifestyle with the church. We've had a show like this before, but there's other teas that I want to bring up in there. So y'all, anybody who knows me knows that I'm passionate about it, and I goes in. So
and if you're weak-willed, okay, weak willed, please don't, because you get your feelings hurt. Because I went on there the first time
question,
and almost
Naima.
Cried.
Naima, there's this guy who at this place I was working like during the summer, and he told me that he basically, by the way, he believes in the Bible, but the way he reads certain things that make God to be
yes,
not a very good person.
Walking there,
he told me,
like that.
He told me that he believed that God was an adulterer because he impregnated a lady. It was just too much. It was just all type of shit he was telling me. It just boggled my mind.
Well, Shamika, well, honey, I would love for you to come on tomorrow, ask as many questions as you like. If you want to, you know, maybe even sit in and stuff like that, you can.
What's
you know,
the number to your show, this number?
No, it's 347-945-6393.
I'll inbox it to you.
What's the name, guy? He got the link. But yeah, you know, we're definitely going to talk about it. We're going to cover a lot of things. You know, a lot of questions. You know, people, you know, ask a lot of questions. And then another thing, I will tell y'all this much without going in, because Jason know I goes in too.
Ooh, notice girl, retarded girl is not letting her free.
I will tell y'all. She had enough of the voices in her head.
She said,
"Fuck
you,
get your
ass louder than anybody."
Was
y'all
go
on?
That's because
he's watching the TV.
Oh, I'm gonna put my phone on mute. I'm sorry, but I'm here.
Yeah, because this show took a left turn. I didn't mean for it to take a turn like that. Naima, you know how the kids are.
I will tell y'all this much. I'll leave y'all with one question. Me and my best friend, we were out the other day, and I told him, I said, have you ever noticed how many churches and different churches are on the corners and city blocks and you know, within a mile or 2 mile radius? And he said to me, he said, no. I said, okay, well, while we out today, I said, let's count how many as we go down the street and count how many that we've seen. And within a 1 mile to 2 mile radius, and I'm not lying. No, it was 1 mile. That's right, it was. Within a 1 mile radius, we came across 20 churches.
Yeah, more than liquor stores.
We do, and the reason why I pointed that out because, you know, people had to get into what is it that this church is not saying, is not telling the people in this one, and what is this one teaching over here that this one don't have, and what is this one lacking?
Right.
And like,
well, certain, first of all, when it comes to church, that's this. A pastor can give a word out. A pastor can read a scripture or a Bible verse, but he can convey it in a way that somebody can understand it, or he can make you understand it a way someone else couldn't. You know, that's just like when I say, those shoes are sickening. I can say it in a way to make you believe that I wouldn't wear those. Or I can say it in a way to make you believe that I just got to have them. Each preacher is different. Each preacher gets his word across
the
way.
Hey, darling, tricky-dicky. The rules of etymology never change. No matter what the tonations are, whatever, the meaning and the definitions of the words still remain the same.
That's not true. That's not true to a certain extent. I'm going to tell you why, Granny. I'm going to tell you why.
That
wait a minute, listen to me. I listen to you.
You can deliver it in intonation, and you're right, and people will perceive it differently. But the definitions does not change.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's my thing right here. My father is a minister of one of the biggest churches in my city, my biological father. This is my thing. Just like in the Bible, it says that there was a covenant, and people were speaking in tongues. People get that with that Ohashabatha and all that kind of stuff, but it does not mean that to me. Per se, what it means to me and what I got from it was the fact that there were many men from all over the nation who were from different places and speaking in different languages, and no one understood each other because they had not been formally introduced to one another to learn each other's languages at one point.
Yeah, that's
time.
Why you get it from my native tongue or something
true
like that.
Because when people speaking in tongues in church, they still ain't been translated or tracked back to no language.
None. Well, when it comes to religion, you are allowed to believe in what you believe in.
Speaking in tongues up in church.
When it comes to religion, each and every person are allowed to believe in what they believe in, and I don't believe that they should be doubted because of what they believe in.
That's just the key word. What you saying right there? Believe. You need
right.
to know. Knowing, having knowledge is way different than
it's
belief.
It's not way possible that you can know. You have to have faith at the end of the day.
Faith is still not knowing, baby. You got to know. It's an answer for everything. It is knowledge for everything. You got to research it and find it. Beliefs and faith always go fail you and fall short. You would rather know than just put your trust in some unknown entity and stranger, wouldn't you?
Okay, but that's like, Granny, if I tell you to go to the grocery store, do you say when you go in there, well, if I go in here and buy this orange for this man or whatever, I might get my head blown off. You have faith that when you go in the grocery store, you're going to come back out one piece with your orange. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk through those doors.
No, I don't, but I know I'm going to get an orange. But I know I can't be killed in the store on the way there. I know that.
Just like when people go to church, they know they're going to get their praise on. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all in what you believe in and it's all in what your faith is. I mean, there's no need to argue. I don't see the point. Everybody's going to lose.
I don't either. You know what? The one thing I can say, the one great thing that I can say about the one great thing, we're going to go by the words
that you're speaking. Believe and faith. Look that up.
One thing that I would say I believe in firmly about the church is this.
if it does nothing else for anybody, at least it gives everybody a chance to get away from violence for a couple of hours, regardless whether they're poisoning your brain or whether they're not.
The church was built on violence. Look at the society that we live in.
You're talking about past history. You're talking about past history, Grandma.
Shut up,
Abortion. Okay, women,
can I say something through all the midst of the yelling? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be yelling. I just talk loud. You know I'm not angry or nothing. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let me say this. Okay. We will have, you know, all the time in the world tomorrow to go in. You know, this is, you know, Jasmine and Jason.
Hey, you're right.
You know.
Jasmine don't like this shit on the show. As you
Oh, my God.
His attention somewhere else because he's a bitch.
Wait a minute.
Granny,
can you give me a chance to finish out a statement or a thought before you go in?
You go to hell, Naima, but go in.
But when Naima said there is no hell, we living in it.
Okay. All I'm saying is this: we can't carry on here like this because at the end of the day, we had to respect it. This is Jasmine's show. We can't carry. So, like I said, and I want to say something else after this. Tomorrow, we can definitely hash it. We could go in. Dick will come on. You know how he comes on. He sits in and whatever. He gets his view. Calvin is the same and whatever like that. You know, even Jason, you know, calls in sometimes. So, you know, we can definitely go in tomorrow. But I want to say this one last thing to get y'all wheels turning for what is about to come tomorrow. Ask yourself something. If, and you say that your father's a pastor of a church, ask yourself this one question, and then I'm going to turn it tomorrow when I give y'all the answer. Y'all ain't got to answer it tonight, but just ask yourself this, what I'm going to ask you. Ask yourself, if the God of creation, who made creation, and he looked upon everything and saw that it was good, and saw that it was perfect and it was beautiful, if your pastor says that that God's time is not our time because his time is different, ask yourself, when he made the heavens and the earth and everything like that, he rested on the seventh day. If his time is not our time, where does he exist at that he had these 7 days, even though he was able to come up with these 7 days and rest? That's one part of the question. And then also ask yourself, why, if God made us, if we are all his creation, or it says, let us make mankind in our own creation, then why would, if we are supposed to be perfect in his eyes or supposed to be good in his eyes, and he made the animals that we eat and shit like that and whatever, and the fish and stuff like that, and including us, then why would he want us to sacrifice something else that he made to him to please him, when he could, if he's the maker of everything, he can destroy anything? Now, I don't want y'all to answer this because, you know, we don't carry on this show. But that's just a little something to think about tomorrow.
Naima.
Some of the questions I have.
Wait. Who is that? Who just said Naima? Who just said that?
Calvin.
Okay, Calvin, wait a minute. Granny, wait a minute. I am going to say this last thing, and it's three words. And I cannot hold this. Naima,
go
I rebuke
ahead.
You in the name of Jesus. I cannot.
Now, this is where I'm just going to say this. Naima, your ass better not put me on mute then, the bar, goddammit.
Okay,
and I ain't going to say no more.
Naima.
So anyway, that's a little something for y'all to think about tonight. And, you know, tomorrow, of course, you know, I'm going to go in even more. But
Naima, I just want you to know that question right there just made me crumble on the inside. I hate you.
Oh, baby, you think you gagging now, Calvin and Dick? Oh, you wait till tomorrow when I open up the show and say what I have to say, and then we'll go into other things that I'll bring out scripture for scripture and the stories, and then I'll go into the callers. Oh, y'all going to come together?
You
tomorrow.
Know, I'm going to have this because I like your show and I like what you give. I'm going to bring my aunt. on this show tomorrow or whatever, as a guest, I mean, as just a listener or whatever, so that you can have, so someone can be there that I, because I feel like a lot of people don't even read the Bible or are not educated enough on religion to be able to debate or give a rebuttal on these things or whatever. So just so it won't be a one-sided thing, like it won't be a brainwashing thing or whatever, I got an answer for you tomorrow.
Yeah, isn't that the purpose of having these shows or what have you? You don't need some yes people around you all the time. Because, you know, to be real, we just all want to know the truth. We all want to know the truth.
Exactly. You're right, Granny.
And then also, too, in bringing your aunt on, also think about this, too, Dick, and when you go and talk to her. Think about the mind of a child and when a child is born. When you don't tell a child about God or teach a child about religion or anything like that, it's since the child doesn't know about God or know anything, he or she doesn't know about prayer, they don't know who to pray to. So what do? They go living their life until something like that is instituted in them. Even there are some people, like with the Eskimo man, and I keep putting this picture up all the time, where he is living his life, taking care of his family, and he talks to a priest, and the priest tells him about God and hell and sin and all this carrying on, and then he says to the priest, well, wait a minute, if I never knew about God and sin and all this and the other, I mean, well, would I still go to hell? He said, no, you wouldn't. Then he said to the priest, well, why would you even tell me about him then?
Exactly.
The Bible says, every man, woman, and child will have heard the name Jesus at one point in time in their life, and it is up to you to seek and find.
Let me tell you something.
I mean, honestly, and I know I'm about to step on a few big crusted toes when I say this. How dare anybody really sit here and preach about God? If you really believe in him, then you're gay or you sleep with men. I mean, you can't preach about his word when you're not even living right yourself. That's why I have actually backed up and focused more on myself.
Just because I live in a world of sin don't mean I cannot believe in the name, in the blood of Jesus. That does not mean that at all. You know, but tomorrow, I will meet you tomorrow. I'm not doing this right here. Tomorrow on I Am a Show, we can talk about this all y'all want.
Just smoke some weed. They say Granny be screaming, calm down, baby. Just smoke some weed.
So, I didn't mean to turn the show, you know, into this little, you know, little debate or whatever like that, but I just wanted to, you know. Everybody,
let's go back to the fucking scary movies. How about
that? Okay, yeah, we can go back to that.
I will say, y'all bitches started talking about scary movies, and I started hearing sounds. Had to cut on a few lights and shit because I got a little scared.
Let me tell you something. If something's going to get you putting, it's going to get you, honey. It's going to be on your – you come in the house, it's going to be sitting on your couch chilling, talking about, come on in here, baby. I've been waiting for you.
Now, my mom always told me that because when my grandma died, me and her was so close. You know how they say your grandchild is your favorite grandchild? I literally was my grandmother's favorite grandchild. I was very scared of seeing her. And I don't know if you believe in seeing spirits and everything, but she found a way to come to me without scaring the shit out of me. And it's my dreams.
I just got a message from Rodney. He said to tell everyone hello and Granny, he loves you.
Oh, yeah, damn, Big Sexy, I miss him. I heard him, though, on Monday night, I think that was. And
I'm
being a pussy and avoiding the hard questions.
Carolina, I say hi, and I'm really mad that Queen turned him like that on American Horror Story tonight.
Ooh, I can't wait till next week. Yes, that gave me everything I wanted.
No shade. Every time I have a dream about my grandma, in my dream I know she's dead, and she always tells me goodbye. And when she says goodbye, I always know it means forever. And every time I wake up crying. Every time.
Yeah, I've had those type of dreams. I've had dead dreams. I had a recent dream, like probably about almost 2 weeks ago or over a week ago, that I was at my own repast. And if you know about a repast, that's a celebration New Orleans people do after a death. Like,
yes, baby, I love them. Granted, love them.
Yes, I love me a repast.
And I was there as another family member, like I was reincarnated as another family member in my dream until my favorite song came on, which is Melara, Go Outside in the Rain. That's one of my favorite songs. And, like, once
I
went around.
I was wondering, how you know about this song?
Oh, yeah. My dad is a serious music head, so I was raised around music all my life. I went to a performing arts high school for a while and a performing arts middle school for a little while. Well, I wasn't in at that time. I was also in Catholic school, but yeah. I'm a music fan.
But I just, yeah, like, it's weird for me. And, I mean, I can't say it scares me. My mom, you know, she's one of them fanatics. She's like, you know, I think if you would take your grandma's hand and actually leave with her, you probably would die in your sleep. So now I'm scared to dream, bitch. I'm like, what happened if this night I decided to take the hand and walk with her?
Yeah, that definitely is hereditary because my mom had a dream about one of her classmates who died when they were in, like, second, third, or fourth grade or something like that. And once one of my close friends in high school, like my 10th grade year, died, I had a dream about him, like, coming to me. And
I had dreams about
the
people I've never met
before.
Just
like they say, if you fall in your dream and you hit the bottom, you die. That's not true because I done smacked the bottom about 15 times.
I haven't hit the bottom in any of my falling dreams. I haven't had one of those in forever, but I never hit the bottom.
And that's another thing. The whole water dream where people's like, oh, you're going to hold your breath. I held my breath until I had to breathe, and then I realized I could breathe underwater. So I was good.
Wait, but you guys, on a serious note, I really think I had a wet dream, like, a few days ago. I don't know if I did because I never experienced nothing like that. I'm not going to laugh. Granny, you're not no good for that shit.
Well,
you sounded like a dying pelican.
Granny had no wet dream about 30 or 35 years.
I never experienced it before. And I know I didn't pee on myself because I had to pee when I woke up, and I felt myself like it. I can't explain, but I must have had a wet dream. I don't know what it was.
I could never have a full one. I always
I've never experienced
about
it. I never
come,
had a wet dream.
When I
thought
about
that was a
the
boy.
Come, that's when I wake up.
I woke up looking between my legs like, fuck, like I was about to have a surprise. It's a dick, motherfucker. It's a dick.
Well, I wanted to tell y'all, you know, when I was saying about, like, scary movies, like movies that, to me, that I know that are real and things that have potential of happening that I think that kind of spooked me was the one movie called 13 Ghosts.
Yeah.
And then another movie was Cabin in the Woods. You know, that whole, like, invisible, you know, energy grid thing trapping them in there, that stuff is real. And, like,
mm-hmm.
13 Ghosts with the incantation spells and the barrier spells on the glass and stuff like that, that
yeah,
stuff is real, too.
Yeah, they used to lock the entities in there, and then they were escaping and shit in their house, right?
Right.
Let me tell
yeah,
you
Remy
something.
Ma was in that movie.
Let me tell you something. It's just magic. If you don't give any power to it, it don't have any power over you.
And
you must realize your own magic and how powerful you are.
Another movie, like, I mean, I talked about it earlier, but Conjuring, that was said to be a true story. So I think that's why that movie gave me the creeps more than anything. And on that note about scary movies, it's weird, but whenever I get scared, I get a hard-on. It's weird.
What?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, hell no.
Whenever.
You keep telling me one of the ones fucking a ghost.
I like
fuck
the white man shit.
No, listen.
Me neither. I'm so
serious. Like,
I am intrigued.
Okay, like, I've had
only white
guy.
People be romantic relations when they get scared or kill somebody or something.
Yes, I have sex with a guy who pointed a gun to my head, but I wanted it.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yeah.
You ain't white.
Give it to me, Dickie Jack. Give it to me, Jack.
Oh, God. It's something about fear that brings out that exciting, that, ooh, whoa, the passion. Like, yeah.
I mean, I think that experience is like first time tease. Like, your first time, like, that feel like makes it exciting. But I don't think, like, if a man was to rape me, I'd be like, yeah, give it to my daddy. Fuck no.
No, not in real life. No, I don't want to be raped. Pause. I might get turned on, but I don't want to be raped. But when it comes to, like I said, the nigga, it wasn't a loaded gun. I'm not dumb.
Naima, have you seen, any of you guys have Netflix, right? Have y'all seen A Family Affair? It's a documentary about this family. Y'all have to watch it. It's so good.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
It's about this family whose dad committed incest on all three girls.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and it comes to love him at the end. Like, their mama took them away.
Is it on Netflix, Shaniqua?
Huh?
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A Family Affair, yeah.
Yeah, that's family what, yeah, affair. I kind of scrolled over that or what have you ready here. Yeah, well, I'm going to have to watch it now.
Has anybody watched Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, I'm waiting on the second season. I'm pissed. I watched the season in one day, literally.
I love the show, but somebody always fucking bothers me in the middle of it. Like right now, she had just got out of SHU, and Tasty is leaving. Tasty left.
And she wanted to finally say goodbye to old girl. It was way
that was
saying
I cried. I was like, oh.
Oh,
bitch,
Tasty gonna be right back. Repeat offender. Don't be sad. Tasty's coming back.
I can't wait. But before the time in, it's 2:47, y'all. I know, I might get cut off, whatever. I want to say thank you all for having me on again. Don't forget to tune in Monday for the recap, Tuesday for trash talk, and again Wednesday.
It's gonna be time yet, right?
For the state of emergency. I know it's not time yet. I just want to say bye before I get kicked off or whatever. So, once again, this is Calvin. Bye, y'all. Just in case.
Oh, okay.
And just in case I get cut off, I want to say it was a nice conversation.
So, I'll be talking to you tomorrow, Calvin.
With burning my bones.
Yes, ma'am.
But I just want y'all to let y'all know I want everybody to pray for Naima tonight for her show tomorrow. And I thank you very much.
I'm sorry, but I live for Granny Lab. That shit is hilarious.
Well, I want
to,
before I say goodnight, to everybody, I want us all to, send good energy vibes and healing vibes and our own energy. I didn't say praying, but our own energy and good positive thoughts towards Jasmine, and she feels better, and that she makes a speedy recovery, that she be back and swinging, come tomorrow.
Yeah,
so everybody, let's all think positive thoughts, send out positive energies and stuff down there to where she's at.
And hope your positive thoughts shoot her to the hospital where she needs to be. No,
yes,
shame.
Jesus. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know about Jesus, but, But anyway, I just want to, tell everybody that I have enjoyed talking to y'all, vibing with y'all, keying with y'all and everything like that. And I look forward to speaking to y'all tomorrow.
That is,
bitch.
I'm a boss ass bitch.
She just want to let y'all know.
It was a warning.
Oh, that she's still listening. Uh-oh. Mother's still watching.
Sorry.
Well, I look forward to speaking to y'all tomorrow.
Guys, Naima, tomorrow's show will be epic. And trust and listen to me when I say this. I will not debate you. I'm going to listen. I will give my opinion when needed because I respect both sides. And for me, it's what's the word?
You're
remedial to argue
you
about
it. You are straddling the fence. You are straddling the fence, baby.
And yes,
okay,
I
got to hang up.
Naima, didn't I say that, Naima? I told you that a long time ago. I said right now, I push back from my Christian views because I'm reviewing a lot of things that I was taught and I believe in. Yes, call it straddling if you want to, but I'm honest.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, I'm going to let you all, who hasn't said goodnight?
You.
I want to say everybody goodnight, and I will be on next Tuesday and Wednesday, and most likely I called in on Monday, depending on what's going on. And I just want to say, Free Kelly, I really feel bad about what's going on, what situation at Faith France is really sickening. And there's a lot of other people you should be looking at instead of Kai with the money issue. You never know. I mean,
like,
other people have YouTube
shady
accounts.
YouTube
accounts.
But instead of answering the request,
she requested to follow me. Bitch, you're not getting in.
She requested me back. She knows I'm watching her because she'll post certain shit, like, towards me, but I don't care. I mean, you know, it's like other people with YouTube accounts, they can easily be DM'd or whatever, like, hey, let me throw this money to Kelly. You never know what's going on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention this the whole night. I don't know if y'all ever watched the YouTube personality Paint Cup Boy. His name is Tyreek. He's actually a friend of mine.
Oh, my God. I think I remember him from the Reese's thing. And he was talking about how good he...
Hold on, Shamika. He just found out today that he needs a new heart. And he doesn't have the money. He really needs to raise $50,000. I posted a link in the room. I know y'all don't even know him, so y'all probably don't give a damn. But just pass it along, please. We're trying to raise as much money for him as possible. And this time, honey, it's going to the person that needs it.
So what is really, is it his weight that has caused him to need a new heart, like a bad eating or what?
No, he's actually been dieting. He's lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, I can tell in his face. I can tell.
He has some personal issues. And that's why I want to let Jasmine know I was not promoting it in the room. I was just looking out for a friend. You know, he just found out, like I said, the doctor said he needed a new heart. So.
Okay.
$50,000 is a lot of money. And
yes.
A lot of people, I'm not going to say that I particularly go against you on it or think it's a scam or anything like that. But if I were him and I were you or whatever, I would particularly try to go to the doctor and see if it could be verified and have something or a number that could be put up where people could call.
Right.
And
I understand that. They just put a cap on it. Like, we're not saying we have to raise $50,000. We're not even saying we have to raise $1,000, honey. But whatever can help, because this insurance is not covering it all. No tea, no shade.
It's nothing. They can't even give him a pacemaker, like anything that would prolong his life.
I think they're going to end up giving him a pacemaker at first, but for now, like, they're literally talking heart transplant.
You know, and I'm not being serious, and I don't want you to, and I want to say this first, so please don't take it as shade in any kind of way, but I guess because my mind is open and the things that I know now, I would rather leave this planet than to stay here and let somebody cut me open and have me still existing here. And it's I'm not being serious. I'm just, you know, I'm just being real. Like, I'd rather go. I don't want nobody doing anything. Like, I don't even have a no resuscitate order. Like, if I fall out and I'm in a coma or something happened to me, but let me go on. Because I can't deal with this plan. Well, I'll talk about all that tomorrow, but I'm just, you know, that would be my whole thing.
That's how I feel as well.
Shit.
If I die, let me die. I mean, whatever may
damn
be.
That. Jump on my chest, shock the fuck out of me, do what you got to do.
That,
I want
no,
me back.
Please resurrect me. I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
Please.
No.
Okay, guys, I'm about
fate.
To end
everybody
this
was talking
show.
About fate earlier.
So.
You can't fight fate, baby.
Okay.
Bye, everybody. This
rub
is Justin
signing out.
And, I mean, honestly, if it.
Yeah. Say goodnight, Jason.